welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ANIMAL. Oh, look who's graced us with an appearance. His Highness, Dave Damashek.
Nice of you to join us.
Yeah, what's the occasion?
Hello. What gives? What do I have to be abused for right out of the gate?
What's the occasion? You've joined us on our humble radio show. Creeps. Dave Damashek over there. Teresa Strasser over there, too. Me over here. Well, let's see. Plenty of show today. Bucky from American Idol. I was going to be on the program. I was sitting around this morning about 5 watching a little CNN, and I noticed it was the 100th anniversary of the San Francisco earthquake. Mm. I used to do a little earthquake rehab work. I'm sort of an earthquake expert, so I thought I'd give people a few tips. Also, hailing from the Southern California area, a lot of people here haven't been here. I mean, Dave, you're from
Pittsburgh, PA.
Pittsburgh, and I tell you, so it must be a probably follow the.
I'm a big local fan of the local teams.
Local teams in Pittsburgh,
Pirates, Penguins.
Okay,
like
so you watch those teams.
Sure.
Teresa, has that not come up? You're from San Francisco.
Yes.
No, I don't think it's come up. I think it's come up in passing during a meeting, but not on the air. I don't think
so you forget what's on air and what's not on air.
It's hard to get blurry after a while. Yeah, and. Teresa, you're from San Francisco.
That's right.
So you know about earthquakes.
Do you remember big one? Like, what was that, 12 years ago? No, the one during the World Series.
That was 89.
Wow.
Yeah
it's been a while.
17 years ago. Yikes.
Yeah. So I was watching CNN this morning, and they did that thing where it's the 100-year anniversary of the 7.8 one that hit. And somebody's got to recalibrate that whole Richter scale thing, because it's always like, someone always tells you, well, a 7.8 is about 5,000 times more powerful than a 7.2. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you walk away going, well, why is it 5,000 times more powerful when it's just 4/10 or 6/10 or whatever? You always kind of buy into that. You go, well, this one was a 7.2 and that one was a 7.8 and it destroyed the whole city. What, the 7.2, nothing really happened. What's the big deal? Well, because 7.8 is 10,000 times more powerful than 7.2.
It's exponentially more powerful.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where other things don't really work that way. If it's like, well, you got a B plus and you got an A, but your B plus isn't enough to get into junior college. The A is 1,000 times more. Well, no, it should just have the next one be the next one so we know where we're at. So I'm just saying.
That's fair.
Maybe we have to call one 1,000 and one 2,000 and one 3,000. Whatever we have to do, let's figure it out. It's always confusing to me that, you know, a 7.2, 7.3, we'd all be fine. An 8.5, total devastation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that system, but the point is they rang the bell. You know, they had the moment of silence. Of course, during the moment of silence, there's always some codger's got to belt out a huge old man sneeze. You know what I mean? What is that, by the way? I don't think I've ever been to a church, been to a service, been to a funeral, been to a wedding, been in a group where there's more than 30 people, where somebody says, could we just put together 5 seconds of goddamn silence? They never do it that way, but I would do it that way because it'd be a preemptive strike. You know, for me, this is why I could never proceed over one of these things, because it'd be like, now I'd ask you all to bow your head and just give a few moments of silence for the fallen. And listen, when I say silence, I mean silence, goddammit. I don't want any throat clearing. I don't want any sneezing. Do people have some sort of silence Tourette's? You know when you go to a church and the guy goes, you know, Ron was a great man, and Tammy, there's no better woman, and they perished horribly in a car crash when they're on their honeymoon, and if we could just give a couple seconds of silence in memory of Ron and Sharon. There's always some guy's like, really, old man? You can't sit on that for a 4 count? You have to do that? There's always some old man. First off, so I started thinking, do people just sneeze and cough randomly about every 12 seconds? Or is there some sort of weird Tourette's-y thing that people have? Is it a F-U? to the man? Is it I legitimately have something caught in my throat, even though it's not like we're eating or running in place or anything? We're all just sitting on pews with ties on. Can't keep it together. And you know these silent counts. Let me tell you, by the way, what a moment of silence is. I'm looking at the clock. I'll give you 5 seconds. Ready? Moment of silence.
Excuse me.
Point is that was five before. It was he farted in 3 seconds. We're not saying, now bow your head for 10 or 20 minutes while we observe. It's not that. It's not give me half a day of silence. Give me 45, 46 minutes of silence. It's literally about someone. Mike, check into this. The average silence is about 5 to 7 seconds. That's all. 10 seconds feels like a lifetime, by the way, when you go with the silence. 5, 6 seconds, plenty of time. Can't stop the... I would kill my dad or whoever I was standing next to, whoever I brought to the memorial, if they tried to pull that. I have to sneeze in this 4 or 5 seconds. It's been allocated for the silence. But sure enough, during the ringing of the bell, you know, they ring the bell 3 times. There's just a moment of silence. You hear some conjure. Point is this. I realize it was 5:11 is when the earthquake hit in the a.m., and then I remember the Sylmar earthquake that originally, my first earthquake, big earthquake out here in 72. That thing was at like 5:13 or something. And then the big one in 94 out here, that thing was at like 4:12 or 4:30 or 4:38. Whatever it is, it's not even 2 in the morning. You know, I'm more awake at 2 a.m. than I am in the wee hours until I got this gig. Normally 4:30, 5 o'clock. Never in deeper. And then, of course, it's not like you hear gunshots or a siren going. There's a shaking of your room, which is a bizarre thing to process when you're in your third stage of REM. Do you know what I mean? It's like other things you immediately will process. I imagine a baby crying if you're a parent, a dog barking, things like that, even a window breaking, someone has broken in. Just this weird rolling of the earth is a weird thing when you're deep and under. And then I started thinking about it. I've never experienced an earthquake where I've been upright and lucid. It's probably the reason people are so freaked out about it. No one's ever been awake when one has ever hit. We've never actually had any scientists that were awake monitoring anything because everyone is down. There's not a human being at 4:33 that's not, except for this crew, is not in their bed. It's so sad now. And I realize even 100 years ago, it was at 5:11 or 5:13 in the morning. The entire city was asleep. I used to do earthquake rehab work, so I'll give you... And by the way, why can't it happen when you're at work? You know what I mean?
Yeah, get the rest of the day.
Nice earthquake right now. People start saying stuff like, we just don't want to chance it. And when I hear... If you ever hear somebody say, we just don't want to chance it, and I'm agreeing with you, that means I want to go home. Mm-hmm. If I'm where I want to be, if we're at, a brothel or we're at a hobby store or we're at a car show and somebody says, I just don't feel like I want to chance it, I'm calling them a pussy. But if I'm at work, I'm just nodding my head. Oh, no, you're right.
Well, I won't be around to agree because as soon as it starts shaking, I'll be making haste to my car. And by the time the shaking stops, the car will be turned over and I will be on my way home.
You will be doing shoulder rolls all the way out to the car. The other thing that was funny about the memorial is that's a V8. He's got a 3.2 liter V6.
God, Mike.
Aluminum block. Let's go. The other thing that's funny is they did this whole thing where it's like, we will have a moment of silence with Codger coughing.
Sneezing.
Yeah. And then it'll be followed by the sirens, the citywide sirens going off and the ringing of the fire bells. And again, for all the folks who aren't 101 years old and don't give a good flying whatever, all the folks from San Francisco basically got off a raft 4 years earlier that floated in from China somewhere. these guys have to be horribly annoyed that the entire city is sounding off in the wee hours of the night. Those who have to get up at 7:30 or 8 in the morning and put in a 10-hour day must be delighted that the entire city's ringing its bell.
Well, I'll tell you, the one time there was an earthquake in at rush hour in the afternoon was during the World Series in 89.
That's right.
When they did that one, it's like exotic natural disaster to me watching in Pittsburgh, PA, because the stadium was full. Candlestick Park was full, and they started shaking just before the game, and Al Michaels, are we still on the air? I don't know. And then the crowd erupted with applause. So they didn't realize that there was devastation.
It's not a big deal.
They even have fun with their earthquakes.
Yeah.
You don't know that I grew up there, and I mean, it seemed like, you know, every few months in the middle of the night, there's an earthquake, and you stand in the doorway because that's the safest place. And I'd go in the doorway, and there's my mom in the doorway, and then you go back to bed.
Here's the thing. You stand in the doorway because there's a header above the door that's supposed to provide some protection. There's a beam that goes above the door, but there's not much to it. It's just a 4x4 as opposed to a 2x4. It's a 50% bigger. Doesn't offer any real protection. But here's the thing. After building houses and doing earthquake rehab on apartment buildings and all that kind of stuff, your big enemy in an earthquake is masonry. This is why when they have these things in the Middle East, the unreinforced concrete just comes right down. If you sort of think about it, your house, which is 2x4s, which is plywood, which is lath and plaster and all this stuff, it's really like, it's like if you took a house of cards, but you wrapped tape around it and then you shook it. It just sort of flexes and twists and there's a little torsion, but it doesn't pop apart. It's not brittle. This stuff is like you took a castle made of sugar and it just hardened. And then as soon as it cracked, it just snaps. You know, the masonry is strong if you put a bunch of steel in it, but the stuff they have in all these third world countries doesn't have any steel in it. They don't have 2x4s. They make everything out of brick and mortar. Well, it's really open the Bible. It's not only a Bible, it's a building code manual for these people. It's just all straw and mud and brick and everything's made of dung and everything. Earthquake hits, everything just falls apart.
Well, so since you did the rehab stuff, give some optimistic news possibly. If a bad one hits L.A. or San Francisco or whatever, will we be all right?
Yes. If you live in a house that is constructed traditionally, just wood, 2x4s, plywood, masonry, even, you know, stucco, that drywall, that kind of thing, fine. The only thing that happens is the foundation, the concrete foundation that it's sitting on, because it is the masonry part of the house, will sometimes crack. Sometimes the house will slide off of that. Now, the problems we had out here in 94 were we saw apartment buildings collapsing, but what happened is the masonry subterranean parking, that gave way. Then the building sort of pancaked on top of it. So you took this big three-story apartment and you essentially slid it 8 feet off and it crashed down. But the apartment itself, the plywood,
like in
the
Burger
2x4s,
Time, the video game, you'd run the guy over the top, over the top bun, it would fall down onto the lettuce and then in turn onto the tomato.
I imagine.
Then the patty. Then
my nephew's. I have a retarded nephew who agrees with you.
Pickles.
Yeah, that's what he calls me. My point is this. If you live in just a traditional house and there's no subterranean parking, you just have some plywood and some stucco and 2x4, you're fine.
Well, let me ask you this. As far as contractors go, they try to convince you that you should have your house bolted for, you know, $15,000.
Yeah, that's just so it doesn't slide off the footing. Off the thing. Yeah, that's just about getting underneath the house, drilling some holes, and taking some epoxy and putting some threaded bolt down in there. Sort of, it's like your house. They used to build houses, so they just sat on top, literally just sat there. They weren't connected to. This is in the 30s and 40s and before. And the whole thing would just slide off. This just stops it from sliding. It doesn't stop it from lifting, but it doesn't want to do that. It's going to shimmy off. And if it falls off, it'll be like a vase. Once it falls off the pedestal, it's going to crack into a million pieces. So it's not a bad investment. You probably get a break on your insurance and so on and so forth. Yeah, the 1990 Northridge earthquake hit at 4:30 in 55 seconds a.m. Are you ever in deeper than 4:30?
That's the deepest.
Yeah, I mean, 3:30, not as deep. 5:30, nope. Not as deep. Still deep, but 4:30. Are you ever more what the F is going on than you are at 4:30 in the morning? I remember it was January 17th. It was January. I was living in a house in La Crescenta with three guys. No heater, by the way. The heaters never worked in the house. It was butt-ass freezing cold. Of course, everyone was up, still drunk a little from the night before, and totally disoriented. I had my girlfriend, who I'd met about 3 weeks ago, just crashed at my house. She lived in Sherman Oaks, right in the devastated area. I was telling her, no problem. Went back to our apartment, had a big piece of red tape in front of it. She couldn't even go in there. Then she had to move in with me.
Right. Where was she going to go?
Oh, I'd only known her for like 3 weeks. It wasn't like we were living together. It was like one of these things where she just crashed. You know, I'm up in La Crescenta. She's out here. It's 30 miles away. We go out to dinner, a little whoopee, and then you spend the night. Why bother driving your piece of crap car all the way back home? Her place is devastated. Her place of work, which is on Ventura Boulevard, is devastated. She has no job. She has no place to live. She must then live at my house. I'm barely working. And her mom has already scheduled and bought tickets to come in to stay 3 days from there, in which case she has to stay at my house.
Oh, no.
With your three roommates?
This is the worst week of my life by far.
What about something called motels?
I don't have any money. The mom doesn't have any money. She's coming from Minnesota. The daughter has no money. Oh. Now her car breaks down. She drives an old Datsun, not a Nissan, but a Datsun. It breaks down. She has no money to fix it. You know, we got to take a break, but I got to let you in on this story because it's now taking me way, way back and driving me insane. All right, let's take a break. We're running too long, but I'll tell this story, and then we have other things to do. But this is really, it's the worst.
I want to know how it turns out.
The worst 4 days of my life quite easily. I come down with a disease. It's fantastic. We'll be back after this.
Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands. Get out of that bed.
It was a better time. Black guys screaming at chicks. Get in the kitchen. Start cooking. Yeah. All right. Dave Damashek obviously learned a very valuable lesson from the break we had 22 minutes ago because he's nowhere to be found.
I can't even see him anywhere.
Now, here's the interesting thing. And please try to understand because I really want to understand the human condition.
Yes.
If I didn't shame Dave Damashek for showing up late 20 minutes ago when we started the show, would he have showed up late this time, too? Now, it's argued, and Dave, don't try to defend yourself or answer, because I say you don't know the answer. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to say, miss you? Well, I'm going to say,
that's good.
How about just hit the road, Jack? That's actually better. It'd be a better song.
Hit the road, Jack.
You don't miss someone you fire. The point is this. I'm interested in how the human condition works. Dave Damashek in the, you know, wow. It's like I was just thinking it.
Amazing.
Here's the point. We've done, I don't know, 60-something shows, maybe 70 shows. I have no idea how many shows we've done. Dave doesn't have a consistent pattern of showing up late when the mics heat up. He's sitting in his chair, albeit not ready to make comedy, but
he's there.
Theoretically, his ass is actually making contact with the stool that
he
it resides
up
in.
He shows up.
Right. Now, this is two times in a row. Maybe, and Dave, you don't know this, but maybe your guy... I wouldn't call you rebellious, but you have your own way, and you certainly don't like to be bullied. Maybe it was just one too many jokes about you joining us and His Highness is gracing us with an appearance that 20 minutes later leads into a subconscious. Let's see if you can control me. I'm a rebel.
Well,
That's right.
Statistically
man
speaking,
man ain't going to keep me down.
Right.
What are the odds that twice in a row you...
That's what I'm saying. When it's only been three times overall, and this has been two of them. Anyway,
it's going to be exciting to see if it happens three in a row.
It will be. We'll be on pins and needles.
The hat trick.
All right. Anyway, as promised, I finished my 1994 earthquake story, which leads me nicely into my showbiz career, but I'll stop at a certain point. So it's January 1994, January 17th at 4:30 in the morning. I'm living up in La Crescenta in a rented house with Ralph and Cortland. I'm in the smallest room because I got there last. Ralph got there first. So he has the master suite that has, it's not a master suite, but it's the only room that has a bathroom attached to it. Me and Cordy got to double up on the hall bathroom. And my room is about 8 foot by 9 to 10 foot. Just a small, small little room in the back of the house. There's no heater. By the way, here's how life works. In payment for Ralph getting the master bedroom, he's going to take care of the pool and mow the lawn every week. That lasts for 4 days. And then the pool turns black and the lawn gets higher than my head. And that's where it stays. And if you say anything to him about it, by the way, you're the world. You're a king a-hole. That's what I love about that. I love that part where somebody agrees to do something and then they stop doing it and you bring it up to them. And if you bring it up a second time, now it's an attack. Anyway, I don't want to digress. Obviously, there's
I want to know what happened to the girl.
There's some unfinished business. I meet a girl. She's beautiful, but she's a little crazy. Not ditzy. Smart, but crazy. She's out here from Minnesota. She was a Minnesota Vikings cheerleader in a former life. And she's out here giving it a go at acting, modeling, whatever. But, of course, she's working at a place called, like, Amazon or something on, not the book place, but some sort of cafe in Sherman Oaks on Ventura. Now, the big earthquake hit, and it sort of followed the L.A. River, which passes through Sherman Oaks, cuts right down along Ventura Boulevard, and goes through the city and ends up at the ocean. There was some sort of liquefaction thing that happened right along that, and her apartment was about 75 feet from essentially one of the veins of the devastation. She could not go back into her apartment. She slept over at my house. My house wasn't hit too hard because I was 30 miles out of town. We went to her house. She couldn't get in. Her mom had already booked passage from Minnesota to come out here. She was going to be here in about 4 or 5 days. She was now living with me, and the head gasket blew on her Datsun 1600 piece of S. The car was actually called the Datsun piece of S. Yeah, it just had the S, had the three S's, I think. Piece of S. So now her mom's coming out. She's already bought the tickets. No one has money for a hotel. It's all right. We have a house. She can stay in the living room. Cortland and Ralph both understand. Let's just hope Ralph doesn't get loaded and try to F her in the middle of the night when he staggers out into the kitchen drunk. So I have my job, but I'm barely working. I'm working as a carpenter. Now, there's a lot of work for me. I actually rebuilt fences. That was the bulk of my work for the next 2 months, was rebuilding old brick, cement, cinder block fences that had fallen over in the entire valley, and putting up wood, redwood fences. But nothing's going to happen for about a week while people sort of gather themselves and, you know, get insurance money and FEMA and all that kind of stuff. So I'm on my ass for a week. She's on her ass for a week. I have no nest egg. I have no money in the bank. I'm 29 years old, and I don't have a savings account. I don't have car insurance. I don't have health insurance. She has less than I have, which is nothing. Her car's broken down, and she's essentially trapped at my house. I remember one day, just in the middle of the week, in the middle of the afternoon, we just went to the park, and I brought a softball, and we just played catch. Only time I knew I was desperate playing catch with a chick. We must have been in love. Point is, her mom comes to stay with us now from Minnesota. A day before, 2 days before, I have some bizarre breakout of some disease. And Dr. Drew always claimed it was herpes, but it never turned into herpes. He always claimed everything that I had was herpes because
flu-like
it was
symptoms.
Insulting. Horrible fevers, night sweats, just covered, just waking up. You know, it was the dead of winter, and I'm waking up soaking wet, sheets soaking wet. Then lesions inside my mouth, on my mouth, on my face, down my chin, weird festering lesions. These ulcerated lesions. My mouth is swollen. My tongue has this stuff on it. Now, I can't go to the doctor because I don't have a doctor. I can't go to the pharmacist because I don't have insurance. I don't have money. Stuff's expensive. And my whole thing with everything is just, I'll just ride it out. I'm healthy. I got the flu. I don't know what I got. People are talking about something that the earthquake did, something that was unleashed from the ground. There's people getting earthquake flu or disease or whatever it is. Point is, his mom shows up. I answer the door. My face is covered with lesions. I look like a huge herpetic cyst. And I'm sweating and I'm in my towel, you know. And mom walks in. And, you know, it's one of these things where I don't even know how it worked now that I go back and look at it, but she walks, she puts one foot in the door and starts with me. She's got attitude. Obviously, she doesn't like the fact that her daughter's dating the guy who lives with three other guys
you
in the broken
like
down
Jeff
house.
You look like Jeff Goldblum is the fly.
Yes,
halfway
about
to
halfway
to
there.
Full flyhood.
And she's got to wonder if her daughter is going to catch the festering sores.
Yes, and she makes no bones about it. She comes in and she starts right in with me, and I'm in no mood. And I start right in with her, and we're in. It's on. It's on in the entry hall in La Crescenta 10 minutes after she puts her foot in the house, and we're into it, and now we're getting into it, and it's the worst 3 days of my life. Her and I giving each other the stink eye. We're not talking to each other. I have nowhere to go and no way to get there, even if I did. No money in my pocket, no nothing, just the three of us. She doesn't even have as much as a rental car. She, you know, my girlfriend borrowed my car to pick her up from the airport, and that's it. We're all just trapped. Poor, screwed up white trash, trapped, waiting for something to happen. This is January. Somehow, mom moves, I heal up, we break up, and 4 months later, I'm on the radio, and the rest is history.
But
my bottom, I bottomed out at the end. I mean, it was literally a few months before my life took a turn for greatness.
It's darkest before the dawn.
That's
but
right.
Kudos to you, though, because you're 29 years of age, and you're a complete zero swinging a hammer, and you're
a little less than a zero.
You're making time.
It's not
with
fair
a,
to the zeros,
but you're making time with a Vikings cheerleader.
I was thinking the
same
thing.
Can't be too bad.
Yeah, you know what it was. Let's see. Here's the lesson. I was I looked better than I do now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was in shape.
Minus the cysts.
I was in shape and young. I didn't have the lesions when I actually.
I didn't have the festering
lesions when I actually picked her up. I was doing comedy. Even though I wasn't being compensated for doing comedy, but I was still funny and I was still on stage, and there's a little, it's like being in a band that doesn't have a record deal. You can still get laid. Not
yes.
quite as good as that, but if you're just doing something, a chick will get into a guy's just doing something. That's why I always talk about, chicks always talk about the money. It's not about the money, it's about what is he doing. Mm-hmm. They see you up on stage, even if there's 10 people in the audience, and they see that you can play the guitar, or they see you can deliver a joke, or they see you're one of the better ones, or they hear people laughing or clapping, they'll get in.
23-year-old girls, and maybe younger, fall prey to, you're better off as a fella to have big dreams
yes.
rather than a reality that is, like, when I first got out here, I start writing for a sports trivia show on cable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality of that is not impressive. The women were more apt to go for the guy who was jobless, you know, pouring drinks somewhere, but said, I'm going to be
pirate astronaut. That's
yes.
what I used to use.
Yes. The guy who's claiming I'm going to direct big features, you know, I'm going to be the biggest actor in town. They fall prey to that. Like,
yeah.
He's thinking.
Oh, yeah. You're working on a novel. You do a lot more than a guy who's actually just working in a job that's a little mundane.
Well, when I had the earthquake, by the way, when the earthquake came, right when I got out here, probably around like 2000 or thereabouts, there was an earthquake in the middle of the night again.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex-girlfriend thought at the time, she was in bed with me, she thought that I was playing with myself. That the bed was shaking because I was playing with myself.
Well, she's playing the odds. If every morning at 4:30 a.m. you wake up and masturbate, and in this particular morning there's an earthquake, what are you going to do?
Touche.
Rich?
Adam.
What's up, buddy boy?
Hey, well, I was just curious. You got the timeline down to, it sounds like the birth of Bertram. Why don't you give us a little bit of, because that was really the launching pad.
Thank you. I'll be very fast. My 30th birthday is coming around in the end of May. It's January or it's March or it's whatever now. I got nothing going on. I train Jimmy to box on the radio. He figures
That's
out
right.
I'm funny. He wants to know what I think I should be doing on the radio. I say to him, ironically, I say, just shooting the breeze, doing what we're doing right now. He says, you can't do that. Nobody knows who you are, and they already have Kevin and Bean to shoot the breeze. You must come up with a character and phone in. I came up with Mr. Bertram because he's a woodshop teacher, and
That's
I knew...
the best radio character, without a doubt, ever in L.A.
Wow. Thanks, Rich.
Easily. Real quick, let me relate a 94 earthquake story that you'll love, Adam. I had an opportunity to do some, let's call them adult films, the first time to be in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Lethal Weapons?
Yes.
Okay, well, that was going to be my first scene.
She had big cans, right?
Oh, man, she had the massive, fakest, biggest cans in all of the valley.
Right.
Go to her house, the same thing. Her house, the apartment is dilapidated from the earthquake. I walk in, crap is everywhere. I thought it was in a landfill. To say the least, I stayed out of porn.
Oh, wow. So it was like some sort of divine intervention.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you.
But what about those five or six people who died in Northridge in the apartment building just so you could stay out of porn?
Well, I felt good because then I knew that there was some bit of destiny that wasn't just related to me.
All right. And you went on to molest young kids?
Well, that's a totally different story.
All right. I don't want to get into it. Yeah. Everyone loved Mr. Burcham. Sad, though. It's weird when you're jealous of a character you've created.
Why? Mr. Burcham had a better life?
People explain to me how much funnier he is than I am.
Aww.
It's weird. I've had program directors go, look, Adam, let's be honest. We know Burcham's funny. What we don't know is if you're funny. I really have had that. But ask me to host shows as Mr. Burcham. Could Mr. Burcham...
Does he have a show on TLC? I mean, he knows Woodward.
Yeah, they're talking about Burcham like I'm not in the room, and they're saying like how funny it is, and it's like, yeah, when I see him, I'll pass it along. Although he doesn't live he's surly and doesn't live the Hollywood lifestyle. Oh, man, running late. Let's just do something quick, and then we'll come back to it. Cliff Young is here.
Good morning, Ace Man.
Good to see you, Cliff Young.
Thank you.
Cliff has been kind enough to provide us with all the coffee that we enjoy here on a daily basis.
A bounty of beans every day awaits us, it seems.
Bounty of beans. Yeah. and asking nothing in return. But Cliff has fallen on hard times, and we thought we'd do him a solid. Cliff's wife has had some problems, right?
Yeah, she has we found out, about 16 months ago, that she has a condition called neurofibromatosis, which means she likes to grow brain tumors.
Mm.
So she's done a good job and grew 7.
Wow.
And we've taken out 5, but still 2.
How's she doing today? I mean, is she in the hospital now? Is she at home now?
She's back at home. We have help at home, and she's at home.
Mm-hmm. And,
this is a terrible radio character.
Yeah. You haven't heard Cliff, the guy whose wife grows brain tumors guy?
Makes you miss Mr. Burcham.
I don't want to put anybody down. I don't want to judge too quickly, but not out of the gate too hot.
Well, people weren't nuts about drunk frat guy the first time they heard him. Maybe Cliff,
right,
the guy with the wife who grows brain tumors guy, will catch on.
You're right.
It grows on you.
Yeah, so, well, that's going to, yeah, that's your thing. All right. So you're going to do entertainment news? Now, Cliff, Dave, please, do not kid. Cliff is the founder and owner of Inland Empire Coffee, and the business is struggling now because of the cost of the medical stuff with the wife and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah, you know, being a small business owner, you're self-insured, so when you have big medical bills.
Right. So you had to mortgage your house.
Sold the house, yeah.
Sold it.
I tell everybody I'm the only guy that can make $300,000 selling my house and walk away from escrow with $968. But
wow,
you know, everybody gets paid, so what do you do?
So you're down to your last $968.
There you go.
Hmm. If you want to feel better, talk to Tad. He's down his last 68. But the point is we want to help out Cliff, and if you're a fan of the show, his coffee fuels us every morning.
Yes. It's delicious,
Joe. It is. You're used to office coffee tasting kind of bitter and bad, and you bring in your own, but the coffee here is excellent.
Yes, and that is because of Cliff. And what you do is you go to iecoffee.com, iecoffee.com. Now, can they buy your coffee via the website?
Yep, we ship all over the world. So.
And what's different about your coffee? Give it a quick pitch.
It's roasted to order. You know, coffee's like bread and produce. It's fresh, but it goes bad fast. So you have a day 3 after it's roasted, it's perfect. It's beautiful. Day 14, it heads downhill quick. So
let me give my coffee tip, and you tell me what you think about this, Cliff. But I have found that instead of the glass carafe, you go with the thermos one so you don't cook the coffee. You know, the ones have the heating plates. The coffee makers have the heating plates. The coffee sits in the glass container. It sits on a hot plate, essentially. And then when you show up at the diner 5 hours later, the stuff just tastes like cooked mud. At home, you can get the one that has the thermos receptacle. There's no heating element under it. It basically, it's like dumping hot soup into a thermos and squeezing the lid down on it. 4 hours later, it tastes the same. Hasn't congealed or got burnt or anything. I like that. How say you, Cliff?
I say you are correct.
That's the way to go,
That's
huh?
That's the way to go. You don't need to keep reheating that coffee.
And what's the biggest seller as far as your coffee goes?
Probably the Colombian. And people, you know, everybody goes, I drink Colombian. Well, that's like saying I eat cheese. You know, my Colombians come from estates, certain select farms that I visit. And all of my Central American coffees come from farms that I visited. We support those farms by buying computers for the schools. We buy uniforms for our schools in Nicaragua. So we give back to our community.
And you mule back a little heroin, and then it's right back to coffee making, right?
There you go.
IECoffee.com. That's IECoffee.com.
I vote for the Redlands, by the way. The Redlands flavor.
Oh, is that the good one?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Is it competitively priced?
Oh, yeah. I'm right in there with a Pete.
Okay, so let me just say this. Not only does Cliff support the show, not only is it for a good cause, he's not asking for your charity, he's asking for your business.
Mm. You're going to buy coffee anyway.
Yes! He's not asking you to stop by and give him $10. He's
right.
Saying, I got a car wash, you got a filthy van. Come on by. Bring your filthy, filthy van. And let me say this about the car wash and the vans. You know, I drive a Mini Cooper around every once in a while, you know?
So little
Mini. And you know when you go buy the thing and it says $8 for regular cars, $12 for vans?
Mm-hmm.
How about $6 for the Minis? It doesn't work both ways?
$6 for gay cars.
So I had the exhaust pipe enlarged a little bit to accommodate my fella. Doesn't make my car gay.
Please. I love Dick so much.
All right. IECoffee.com. That's IECoffee.com. Like I said, you're going to buy coffee anyway. Why give it to the man?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's,
you know,
so
the
good,
big,
too.
Big conglomerations.
They don't need your money.
Yes, all these places that are multi-billion dollar industries, cutting down the rainforest, mm-hmm. starving indigenous people, raping the land. Not Cliff over here. Cliff only rapes a little bit of the land. He's a small company. One day, God willing, with your help, he'll be able to rape a larger percentage of land. But at this point, he's raping just a small hole in this backyard.
He gives back to the community, he was saying.
That's right. Got a guy in name patch and a jacket, a sewing machine. He's giving back. IECoffee.com is where you go to figure out the coffee of the Adam Carolla Morning Show. Taste it for yourself. All right. We're going to, and again, we're taking a break, but get on it and support this guy, not only for his wife, not only for his product, but just so we know that if you like this show and you enjoy the show, you want to support the people that support this show. Thanks, Cliff.
Thank you, Adam.
We'll be right back. Oh, Bucky Covington is going to be phoning in, by the way, from American Idol. Also, well, ton more show after this.
What's not coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show?
The dark side of teen beauty pageants.
Then why Jennifer Aniston called into the Oprah Show today?
Whatever happened to Bobby Ewing?
And Dr. Phil's first movie?
Wow. Dr. Phil's first movie.
Why did Aniston call in?
Oprah?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Do you know why? The rumors of the $8 million wedding that Oprah was going to pay for Aniston.
Oh, is that right? She's
yes.
going to pay for
I'll
Vince Vaughn's
nuptials. I'll have clips of this in the news.
Yeah, oh, you will.
Okay. I have right. audio of the Aniston phone call to Oprah.
It's got to suck, too. Imagine if word gets out, and then the second word is there's going to be a $1 million gift, wedding gift from Oprah. Imagine that kind of pressure. So you show up with only a $250,000 wedding gift, and it's like, hey, cheapo McCheapskate, you'll be sitting in the back of the church.
Look at this. Brusca, shocking.
Yeah, wants Dave to wrap it up.
Wrap it like a $2 million gift, and let's go.
Why don't we just have Dave kill himself and stop this charade? You know, every day it's the same thing. Hurry up, hurry with the sports, hurry with the list.
That was time it was really aimed at you.
Oh, really was.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, okay.
With all due respect, we got
to
get going.
It's fine,
we got to
get going. Dave, get
Let's
going.
Get going. All right.
Dave's got a list, everybody.
This one's special.
How does history repeat itself in The Karate Kid, the first one? If you played it on the second or third or fourth Karate Kid, then do the history repeats itself. But this is the first tournament Danielson has ever entered. He's never done competitive karate before, and this is the first seat. It's the first one.
So true. And if history, the only history that could repeat itself are the men of Cobra Kai, the Cobra Kai guys beating the hell out of him, I guess.
That's right.
That's the only history.
Yeah. Is the sweep, yes. Sweep
when you're right, you're right. Well, here we go.
Brusca wants
to hurry up. That's right. This one's a specialist. It's coffees. Good name. Not the flavors, but the best names for coffee drinks.
Uh-huh.
This is in honor of Cliff Young and Inland Empire Coffee.
All right.
The official coffee of the show, the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. These are my favorite names for Joe to say. All right. Mochaccino.
Mochaccino. Solid. It's a good name. Again, these aren't the best tasting.
No, these don't have anything to do with that. Right.
Okay.
Joe.
Oh, just Joe.
Just regular Joe.
Just
don't forget
Joe.
About it. Don't forget about it.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It's kind of old
school. If
I were
choosing my favorite drink, that's it.
Joe.
I'm a regular Joe who drinks Joe.
Right.
A little cream. Caramel macchiato. Here's another one. The second ranked most fun one to say. Chai latte.
Chai latte. Yeah, that's strong.
And the currently ranked number one most fun coffee name to say. Cafe Olé.
Wow. A lot of competitors in there.
Yeah. It's a rich field.
Yeah.
That's that.
Wow, who to choose? Who to choose?
Yeah. Well, for now, we'll have to wait now.
Oh, we're going to take a break.
Now. No. It's April now.
Right.
So I've stopped handing out the awards. It's inappropriate to name a year-end award in April. This is just the rankings. I'll update you as they change, like college football. Or college
basketball. But this is your last day, so I would say.
All right.
Because you're sort of late in the first
Twice.
Few breaks, two
well,
times in a row.
I'm
yeah.
Sure Tad,
so maybe you want to spit
takes
that one
over
out
for me. He'll. He'll pick up the ball and run with it.
All right, so no winner. Just,
no, number
just
one, Cafe Olé.
You know what? History did repeat itself when you failed to show up in your chair twice.
Wow.
Don't show off for your new friends.
You're my favorite. We will take ourselves a break. Bucky Covington, the latest cast-off from American Idol, will come on. Fill us in. It's on tonight. Tell us what he thinks about that. Also, I ran into him in the hallway over at CBS, so we'll reenact that after this.
I was just a skinny lad. Never knew no good or bad. I knew life before I left my nursery. Left alone. Such a naughty nanny. Keep me hoping you made a bad boy out of me. Come on. Oh,
That's Bucky Covington. He's going to be calling in a few moments. Dave, we have a caller first off that needs to talk to you. Tony?
Hey, Dave.
Tony?
This is an outrage.
What?
How do you give this list without a winner? What am I supposed to tell my family?
Yeah. Tony, you have children, right?
They want to know.
They're looking for a compass. They're looking for some direction.
Guidance.
On the most fun coffee product name to say.
Help right. Tony
okay.
out.
All right, let's do it.
How dare you?
All right, Tony, listen.
How dare you?
Let's not let history repeat itself.
I said good day, sir.
Oh, he said good day to you.
Well, I say, Tony, I shall now respond to your request. Let's review quickly the nominees for the most fun coffee names to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mochaccino. Caramel Macchiato.
Mm-hmm.
Chai Latte. Joe. Regular old Joe. And Cafe Olé.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner.
Come on, Caramel Macchiato.
Cafe Olé!
Damn!
Cafe Olé.
Wow.
Carolla doesn't like it, but I know someone who does. I know a bunch of fellas who like it. How say you, fish tank? They got my back.
All right, now, thank God Bucky Covington is on the phone. Caramel Macchiato sounds like a great cliff diving name. legend in the cliff diving business. Caramel Macchiato. Legend. Too bad he misjudged the tide that fateful August morn. Bucky?
Hey, how you doing?
Good to talk to you, Bucky.
Old pals.
Bucky Covington. What'd you say, Bucky?
I was actually going for the first one. What was the first one? Mocha what?
Yeah, Mochaccino.
Mochaccino.
I think that was the funnest one to say.
Coming from Rockingham, North Carolina, I bet you're bombarded with these crazy coffee names on a daily basis, right?
Yeah, we got caffeinated and decaf.
That's right.
Bucky, go ahead and write a song about the Mochaccino. It'll be your first big hit.
That's an idea.
Bucky, I ran into in the hallway of CBS the week before last.
Heck yeah.
And it was surreal.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. How's your hair look today? They get you fixed up?
They put a little makeup on me. They put a little hair goo on me. You know, it's cool to be a guy and say you don't need any makeup, but then sit next to someone who's wearing makeup and see what you look like.
Right, exactly.
The crypt keeper with AIDS is basically what I look like.
You just gotta do it, you know?
Yeah, you'd probably never had makeup put on you before the American Idol experience, have you?
Well, what you talking about? I still don't wear it.
But when you went out on stage, you had to put some powder on, right?
No. This is all natural.
Wow. What a handsome gent. So, Bucky, they voted you off last week. I was sad to see you go. But the good news is you stayed around long enough to make the American Idol tour, right?
Yes, sir. I made the top 10 go on tour, so I'd be very happy to go around the country on that. That'll be a great time.
Yeah, when does that begin? Does that begin over the summer?
Yes, sir. I think it actually starts like mid-July or something like that. It goes for about 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. So, we finally get to get out and meet a lot of people that's been pulling for us. So we're all excited about that.
And I just read in the newspaper about that little scandal about you and your brother switching places.
Right.
Because you have a twin brother. Tell us a story about that.
None of that happened. It was something we had to go to court for and everything else, but none of that really happened. And
it didn't really happen?
My
dad bought a new street bike, and I was going from our body shop to his house to follow him so he could take his street bike home.
Mm-hmm.
And, because he had his truck and his bike at the shop, so he needed to take one home. And I was following him there, and a 16-year-old, a little young fella, came over top of the hill and rear into my truck.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, in a small town, if you're a twin, a lot of people just know you. You know what I mean? Know who you are. At least.
Right.
And they found out, knew my brother didn't have a license, and something was wrong with their insurance, didn't want to pay for it or whatnot. So, they tried to go to court with it, and it just got thrown out.
All right. Well, not a great story for you and your family, but a candidate for our definitely not a Jew category. North Carolina, dad driving
no
the
insurance.
Harley, following you home in the pickup truck.
Right,
guy comes
right.
over the hill and T-bones you. Definitely not the work of a Jew. No Jew has ever followed his dad home in his pickup truck while he took the hog up the driveway.
The funny thing is, they were looking for dirt on me, and all they found was a car accident in 98. They just ain't looking hard enough.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they should have talked to some people.
By the way, that's going to be Bucky's second big hit. I'm definitely not a Jew.
It is.
I got the coffee flavor and definitely not a Jew coming out. That'd be great.
It is funny that when you do a little bit of scraping, you can find that almost everyone has a history.
Everybody's got something.
Even 16-year-old Paris turns out did some lesbian porn in the 80s. Yes. According to she was 4 months old. Oh, there's a market for it.
Man, you're jumping into all kinds of jokes now.
So now, Bucky, who do you like and what do you think? Who do you think's going to win? I guess what I'd like to ask you, Bucky, is, and be honest now, who do you think should win, and then who would you like to see win?
Well, I think, first of all, I'd like to see a guy win this year, because it's been a while since a guy's won.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I wouldn't mind maybe an underdog doing it. Somebody who hadn't been in the news from the word go, and, everybody's good that's there, but to me, it really doesn't matter. I think all of them's going to get something. And
But if you just could wave your magic wand and you had Ace and Chris and some of the other guys, who would you like to see win?
Well, I broke my magic wand.
You broke it?
Wow.
In the car accident?
Pickup truck?
In the car accident. When I was switching places with my brother.
But a fellow like you, Bucky, doesn't have much use for the likes of Ace, Pretty Boy Ace. Right? Hey, you'd rather see a regular guy win.
Well, I mean, Ace is actually a pretty cool guy, you know. His looks and, you know, some of the stuff he does, you know, he gets the name of a pretty boy and everything, you know. But he's actually a pretty cool dude. Between him and his brother, you know, they've been real nice and helped me out a lot.
I would say that Chris, as far as the guys go, seems to be the cream of the crop. I mean, Taylor's fun and everything and soulful. Ace is going to get the teeny bopper vote, but it seems like Chris has the pipes.
Yeah,
in the group.
Amazing voice.
Right. And then who's like, oh, Elliot. Yeah, Elliot's coming out of nowhere.
Elliot's my best buddy while we were out there.
Really?
Yeah. Me and Elliot got along great.
You know, there's also this sort of strategy or also this sort of thing where guys are really green, but they get seasoned fast. A guy like Elliot probably didn't have a ton of stage experience, certainly not on this size stage, but in the last 3 or 4 weeks has matured before our very eyes.
I think a lot of people like to see that, you know. Shows that he's growing, he's paying attention, watching what he's doing, and getting better each week.
Yeah, and what about Kelly? You like her?
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Actually, the only person I really didn't like was, who everybody didn't like was, y'all remember Brenna?
Mm.
y'all remember her?
Yeah. Nobody liked her, huh?
She had a lot of mouth, and the bad thing was, off camera, she was really pretty nice.
But she was just a big mouth on camera.
Yeah, I'm not sure what angle she was trying to work, but, you know, that didn't work out too good. But
I'll tell you, who would you rather have a role in the hay with, Kelly Pickler or Catherine McPhee?
I'm a married man, but let's see.
I'm married, too, but my mistress is my penis. A lot of guys have a mistress like the sea. For me, it's my penis. That's my true love. I have to honor it. My wife understands.
The funny thing was, last week, my girlfriend caught me with another woman, got pissed off, and told my wife.
that's another country song for you.
I say this is, in terms of guys, between Kelly Pickler, Catherine McPhee, and Paris Bennett, you have it all. That's all the flavors that the world has to offer. And that'll let me tell you what kind of guy you are. They're, certainly Catherine and Kelly, that'll tell you. Do you like the blonde-haired, sort of young, sort of fresh-faced one, or do you like the slightly more sultry, mature kind? For me, I like Catherine McPhee. That's my type over the young blonde.
Yeah, I really depends on what you're in the mood for, because both of them, I got to say, both of them are right hot.
They're foxy in real life?
What's that?
They're foxy in person?
Oh, sure. They don't look bad at them.
It'd be kind of tough, though, with Kelly having to explain everything to her. Every time you say stitching time saves nine, huh? What is that?
That part would get old.
And then her apologizing when you're making love to her?
Right.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what you were
doing. All right, Bucky. Hey, we'll come out and see the show. When you guys will be in Los Angeles, right? You'll be touring the country.
Yes, sir.
And how do you figure out, and have you started thinking about it yet, like what songs you do, what songs you pick, how it works for the tour?
I'm not real sure. Really, I ain't had much time to think about it. As soon as I'm leaving home to go back home today, I'll definitely be making me a list up and finding out then, you know. I'll probably pick most of the songs I did on the show, except for Old Boy, you know. That one I kind of choked on.
Yeah, screw Buddy Holly.
But so you do Superstition, maybe?
Actually, the funny thing was, Superstition's actually going to be on the album.
Oh, I see. Now, let me ask you this, Bucky. Sorry to cut you off, but does everybody who makes it to the top 10 or top 12 do an album? I mean, are you just approached by music labels?
I reckon it all depends, you know. Some might get it, some might not, you know. Of course, the word is a lot of people now wait till the end of until your contract's up, you know, as far as our management company is telling us, you know, that a lot of people, you know, because they've done it for 5 years now, they just know they can't get you until, 3 months after the season finale.
Right.
The Old Boy thing, the funny thing was, the guy that wrote the song that was in Buddy Holly's band emailed me and wants to write me some more songs.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, that was awful nice of him, because I thought I pretty much screwed it up, but, you know. Hey, you know, I reckon he saw something, so that'd be neat. I might like to meet him.
Yeah. That'd be a weird life for him. Like if someone pulled him aside in 1959. Listen, the bad news is your boss, the genius Buddy Holly, is going in the ground with the big bopper and an airplane. The good news is 25 years later, a kid's going to be born in Rockingham, North Carolina. He's going to do a show you haven't heard of on something you haven't heard of called a television set, but you'll be able to write him songs.
Nice.
It's a really good thing that the ghost of Christmas Future doesn't come visit us. It would freak everyone out.
Confused.
You would be perpetually freaked out. All right, Bucky.
There's so much truth in that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling into the show. Come in and see us, by the way.
Hey, I would love to, Adam. Last time I met you, I got your card, and I told you I'd love to come out. So next time I'm out there for the season finale or whatever, I'll definitely drop by and check you out.
Please do, Bucky.
What a delight.
Yeah, man.
Take care of yourself.
Yes. I love that. I love something about Southern guys that everybody is sir.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like the military guys and the Southern guys with the ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, sir.
It's adorable.
It becomes ironic, though, when they're on trial, and it's like... So you raped the woman repeatedly? Yes, ma'am. And you sodomized her with a bowling pin and then cut her up and left her to die? That's right, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's always like, well, I got to say, he's homicidal, but he certainly knows his P's and Q's. I'll give him that. Michelle?
Hi.
How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Welcome to the show, sir, ma'am.
It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have to tell you something so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I have four wonderful dogs, all named after my favorite Starbucks drinks.
Funny because Dave Damashek was talking about it, but obnoxious out of context for everyone else. Obnoxious. What are their names?
I have peppermint latte,
ugh,
spice chai latte, mocha latte, and the last one is a tiramisu latte.
All right, let me just explain what happened. You started off at about 130 pounds when you called this show. When you mentioned you had four dogs, I had you up at 155. When you went with the Starbucks thing, I had you at 170. And then I tacked on 22 pounds for each dog name. So now I have you somewhere about 215, 220.
How accurate is that?
Well, I actually only weigh 117. But
really?
From chasing
and,
after
and
all
how much
dogs.
Is your right side weigh?
No, seriously. It's funny because I named all my rabbits after alcohol.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now I'm going. Math. Now I'm doing the math. What are you doing, Michelle? What has gone? What has gone so horrible in your life that you have rabbits you named after booze and dogs you named after coffee? What's going on?
Well, I've had about 46 pets in the last 2 years, and you start running out of the regular names.
Uh huh.
So, and
how many men? Zero.
Right.
What's up?
What's up?
Well, you're 117 pounds. How old are you?
I'm going to be 43 in 2 months, and I'm 5'6". But it's not a looks thing. I have plenty of that, but I train horses, and you know, I just don't have a lot of time for men.
Lesbian. When I hear horses and not
lesbian.
A lot of time for men.
That's where I went.
And I hear lesbian.
What are
Chubby or
names?
A lesbian?
Please, Preska. Are you a lesbian?
No, I was engaged. I just, but we just kind of split up recently, and so now I'm not engaged, and so now I don't have a man.
Did you ever think that it might be like the chicken or the egg, or in this case, the chicken or the egg not getting fertilized by a man's semen because you have 46 pets?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that prevents you from meeting fellas?
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about pets, too. It's hard enough for a guy who's coming back to your place who wants to get on top of you to pretend he likes two or three pets. 46 is way too tall an order. Guys, the biggest mistake you can ever do or the most points you can ever score lies with the pet. You said, I love lopsa-opsas, and this is so sweet. It reminds me of one I had, urine. Woman's pants are coming off. You just give it a little pet and a little kick in the side. You get nothing. You with the 46.
It's worse than that.
Really, it's not a house, it's an ark you live in.
No, but it's worse than that because after I got done acquiring my own pets, I started buying his daughter's pets, and his ex-wife wasn't really happy with that. So I started stuffing pets at their house.
What do you do for a living?
Train horses.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good enough. It takes a long time to do that. So.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but somehow people that spend a lot of time around animals don't seem to be comfortable with human beings.
Well, I tutor math at night, and so, I mean, I'm around a lot of people.
But with horses, right?
No, with kids.
You don't tell them to do the hoof three times, you know, like we train them.
You're too funny.
All right, baby doll.
Okay, thanks.
All right, get back to your lonely, lonely life. Michelle calling in. Yeah, there's something. It's like, here's the whole thing. Everything in moderation. If a chick, it's weird how life works that way. You know, if a chick says, I got a dog and a cat, you think, oh, that's nice. That's a good person. You know, as opposed to someone who says, I don't like pets. I don't like dogs. You know, if you were meeting, if you met a woman or if you're a woman who met a man and you're going on a date and they said, I don't like dogs. I don't like pets. I don't have time for that. You'd be freaked out.
I'd rule them out.
But if they said, I got a dog and a cat or two dogs or whatever, you'd say, oh, that's just a, but then if you have eight, it's bad. You know what I mean? There's that weird number, and it's weird because not everything is like money or cars or houses. You know, if you have $1 million, well, hey, that's pretty good. And if you have 10 million, well, that's even better. There's a weird thing that happens in certain aspects of life. When you have three cats, that's cool. If you have 27 cats, you're a disaster.
Critical mass of cat is probably what for a single woman at three, or would you put it at four?
No, two, and if you go over two,
three,
it's too much.
I'll go 2.5.
I
don't mean 2.5. I mean physically 2.5 cats. But I will listen to your explanation about your friend, whose house burnt down,
right,
or who recently was divorced and had to move an apartment that didn't take pets, and your two tabbies are staying with you until I'll listen to that.
There can be mitigating circumstances. The cat was at the pound. It was about
right
to die.
I will sit in judgment, but
here's
it better be good.
Here's a mitigating circumstance. If you have two cats and one of them is named Caramel Macchiato and the other one Peppermint Latte, you're out.
All right. We will take ourselves a break, then news, then sports after this.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear Mr. James Tony, I've been engaged to Zach for 3 years, but I don't know if I should marry him. My family has never approved of him, and they have put second thoughts into my mind. Zach has been in prison for the last 2 years and wants us to be married as soon as he gets out, which will be in another 3 years. When I read his letters or visit him, he scares me. Since he's been incarcerated, he's been on antipsychotic drugs and antidepressants, and he sees a therapist every month. He says things like, he'll be with me for all eternity and till death do us part. And if you ever leave me, I'll kill myself. Should I marry him? Lacking conviction in Texas.
Dear Lackey, this is a decision only you can make. Your fiancé is not the only one who has changed. You have changed too. Please bear in mind that this man wouldn't be in antisocialized or psycho medication if he didn't have serious mental problems. Life doesn't always deal us a hand that we want. We all are responsible for our own lives and our own survival. Threatening suicide to force you to stay in a relationship is a classic form of manipulation, and I wouldn't do it.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Wow. That's his fist and his mouth through the talking. James Lights Out Tony. We're getting to the news in 1 second. Let me just say this. I'm holding up a pen. The pen I hold in my left hand, you can all see, has been chewed like somebody has a puppy. And this thing fell off the console and the dog got hold of it. But in fact, it was a human being. An adult human being, not one that suffered from Down syndrome or some form of retardation, just an adult employed human being of this radio station that has saw fit to chew up the end of this thing and then put it back in. Now, let me just say this. First off, everybody, stop chewing on stuff, especially pens, especially community stuff. If you want to go home, chew the sofa, chew the rug, chew the carpet, chew the drapes, chew your own ass. Do all your chewing at home. Only thing you should chew here is gum, the fat.
Right.
Where you have a conversation, and your lunch. Don't be putting other things in your mouth. And if you do, you bought it. You know that thing they say, you know, you go to a store and it says you break it, you bought it.
Yes.
You chew it, you own it. I don't go shoving things up my work. Please keep it. Take the goddamn plastic pen home with you. I beg you. It's 22 cents. Go ahead and take it. Please don't eat it and then put it back into the goddamn hopper.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't stand these filthy people. And as you say, if you're an adult, what are you doing with it? Listen, half people the goddamn, suck their thumbs when they're three.
Half the pens in this pen thing have been eaten by an adult human being and then sent back into it. And then I then use your pen with your DNA spread all over
yes.
it.
I'm with you.
My pen has been chewed. And in today's world, we could easily send these to a lab and find out who is responsible.
Oh, I would love to do that. Please take that. We'll get it swabbed for DNA. I then also have a lot of stray pen caps. I think we all do. Floating around in the car, you know, you're driving, you pop the top off, it falls underneath the seat. Let's all go home and collect our stray pen caps from the automobile, from the car, and donate it to the pigs who can't stop chewing riding instruments. It'll be like, you know, when you go to the monkey cage at the zoo, they have an old tire on a swing so the monkeys can get their aggression out. This will be caps for tards. There you go. Here's something to chew on other than the one that other people use at the place of work.
Shame.
And by the way, why limit yourself to just the pens people use? There's mouses, there's computer keypads. Chew everything, you retards. What is that? Like I said, I don't mind the part where you have some sort of tick or nervous condition that forces you to chew on stuff. Just go ahead and keep it at that point. No one needs you to put it back. And here's another tip. If you use some toilet paper, don't go ahead and thread it back onto the roll. Go ahead and bring it home or flush it down the toilet, whatever you choose. All right, the more you know. Thank you.
Thank you.
We got a clean house. Here's another pen that's been eaten by some monkey. And like I said, it's not like we go around. It's not like Big Tad walks around, hits the streets, and finds pens that have been chewed. They stay here. People that work in this building eat these pens. Adults with probably educated white-collar adults eat pens and then shove them back into the hopper for all. So everyone can get Hep C. All right, here's another one that's been eaten. Brusky, you got to look like you eat pens.
I don't know. Is it me?
Uh-oh.
Well, it is
oh,
in that office
is.
This morning. I was looking
now
for a pen,
is.
And they were all chewed.
It's on, Brusky.
It's weird for a lesbian to have an oral fixation like that.
Yeah. Actually, it makes Malibian. Sense.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to comb
not,
through the wreckage of Brusky's life.
Until I know I'm guilty.
Wow. Look at the devastation on this one. And then they always go back into the hopper chewed side up. And they're in amongst all the other pens that are in the hopper that's just a quarter inch shorter than the pen is, so you have no choice but to handle the chewed part.
It's a filthy habit.
I will remove them, whether
wow.
it was me or not.
Well, now it's you.
I thought you were doing it.
Who, me?
That's why I just put them back. I thought you were chewing on the pens.
Tad, first off, do I look like I would eat pens? And secondly, have you ever seen me with a pen in my mouth?
I don't really look at you when you're on the air.
All right. Well, let's keep that trend going.
Based on the memo you sent out asking him not to.
Don't eyeball me, son. All right. Let's just keep moving forward, shall we? I'm going to cut my losses. I'm going to throw this last pen cap out. God knows. All right. Teresa Strasser now with the news. Get
yes.
out of here.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It's okay. Are you all right?
Mm-hmm. Because
I need you to be okay.
I've recovered.
Okay. Pro-immigration activists are calling their next rally the Great American Boycott and hoping California will make the day of the event, which is Monday, May 1st, an official school holiday. Organizers urging immigrants to stay home from both school and work. And the news is that now people in Mexico are being rallied to join this protest by boycotting American businesses down there, including McDonald's, Walmart, Krispy Kreme.
Ugh, fantastic. Look, here's the problem. Immigration's out of control. If you come to Los Angeles, you'll see what I'm talking about. And the people that are against it are very smart. They play the race card. And everyone's so goddamn scared of being called a racist or being labeled as that term that they just shut up and we're being inundated with Mexicans. It's 50% Mexican. And people think, oh, Adam, don't be a racist. What are you talking about? Well, I said to Dave off the air the other day, forget about racist. Forget about skin color. Let's just say we live next to France. Let's just say Los Angeles and France were 150 miles away. Paris, where Tijuana is, L.A., is where L.A. is. And over the last few years, there's been a steady stream of Parisians coming in here illegally, climbing the fence, swimming the river, going under, whatever, coming in. Okay, now Los Angeles is predominantly French-speaking. You can't get a job unless you speak English and French. We need you to be bilingual.
Right.
Every sign, half the street signs have to be, all the pamphlets have to be written up in French. And the mayor, by the way, is not Villaraigosa. He's Jacques Lestrap. And he's pro-French. He swings the French flag. He gets up there and makes speeches to Los Angeles, except for it's pro-France. Explains it. The French come in. They cook your baguettes. They roll your cigarettes. They provide you with prostitutes. We need more French. Vive la France, he yells. How fast are you going to be outraged? How fast are you going to want to reclaim your culture? Right? It'd be easy. It's a no-brainer. Hey, listen. This is the United States. This is Los Angeles. It's not Paris. It's not France. We tolerate it. We accept it. You people are welcome. But no, you can't hang the French flag in front of the embassy. Or you can hang it in front of your embassy. You can't hang it in front of ours. You can't hang it in front of the federal building. No, we're not going to print everything in French. No, we're not going to do all the signs in French. Yes, your kids are going to have to learn English when they come to our schools. They're not going to be taught in French. It's a no-brainer, is it not? But you replace it with Spanish and Mexican. Now we're all racist, so the same people have to shut up, and it's game on. So we'll just sit back quietly. You'll be called a racist. Don't say a word. You'll be called a racist, and it's fine. We'll just turn Los Angeles into Mexico. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's bad if we turn it into France, we turn it into Germany, we turn it into Hungary or Mexico. It's not that Mexico's bad. It's that it's Los Angeles. It's California. It's called the United States. That's the way we'd like to keep it. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Please. Like I said, it's a melting pot. Yes. We need a little bit of this and a little that. That's what makes this city the best. We're a little too heavy on the French right now. That's all. And the more rallies, the more folks that are scared to be called a racist, the more people that get voted in office, the more Villaraigosas that take over, it just will become Mexico, and that's fine. I don't want to live in Mexico. I don't want to live in France. I want to live in the United States. How say you, people? Thank you. The more you know.
Well,
right. Now I'm a racist because I'm from the United States.
Well, interesting that Dave didn't answer that question. How say you, Dave?
Well, he's Jew and he's a liberal and he has to go along with the Mexicans because he can't be called a racist.
I like Mexican food better than French food, I'll tell you that much.
Well.
Yeah, the price, though, it's half the price. If it was the same price, you'd probably go out and eat a little more French.
I love Mexican food. And I will say there are millions of very hardworking, undocumented workers that do important work, and without them.
Yes, but this lie that they're doing work that the white man would not do is a total lie. Anybody who's poor will do it. It's not about the color of your skin. It's about poor. Poverty. We act, and people in this country act like we don't have poor white people. I'm a poor white person. I was formerly a poor white person. When I got out of high school, I cleaned carpets for a living, and then I dug ditches for a living. I would take any job you put before me. I did not turn my nose up at anything. Why? I was poor. As long as you're poor, you'll do the job. It's not white people won't do this job, black people won't do that job, only Mexican people will do. Just poor people will do certain jobs. That's true. Now, a white guy who's poor might not pick lettuce for 20 years, but that's the whole idea. You're only supposed to work at the fast food place for a summer, 6 months, a year and a half, and then you move on. These are stepping stone
starter
gigs.
Jobs.
Right, right. Thank you.
During the
more you know.
The more you know.
Thank you.
During the previous rallies back in March, an elementary school in Inglewood introduced a lockdown to keep the kids from leaving to go to the rally.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit on the strict side. The students were not allowed to go to the bathroom, but were instead forced to use buckets in the classroom.
Sounds like someone I know.
The school.
So first off, since when is a decorative popcorn tin given to you by your uncle? For graduation, a bucket. It had a lid on it.
There sounds to be some history here.
I had to go number two in a decorative popcorn tin for time in my life. That's
why?
All right.
I can't.
I was living out in the garage in my house, and I couldn't get into the house. That's all. Didn't have the key to get into the
house. Wasn't allowed in the house.
Well, after the streetlights came on. The folks didn't want to leave the house open at night. I was out in the garage, and I would come home late.
In the garage.
Take a little shower with the hose.
His stepmother made him live in the garage.
Here's the bigger crime. What the hell kind of cheap bastard? I had an uncle. I have one relative out here, my Uncle Vince. I'm 18 years of age. I graduate high school. He gets me as a graduation gift a decorative popcorn tin. $2 worth of cheese-flavored popcorn in a tin with a picture of Santa on the outside of it. That's what you want at 18. Not a hooker, not a Corvette, not a little something toward the college fund. You want popcorn.
Although popcorn does contain roughage, which you then later used.
That's right. Hakuna Matata.
Thank you.
Circle of life. Defecating into a popcorn tin.
Let me just say for the school, they're saying it was an honest mistake, and the principal was following the procedures that they use for nuclear attacks. She got confused.
Ah, racist.
Rally attack.
Racist. She should be fired. Now, everyone's a racist.
Everyone's racist. In entertainment news, I promised you Jennifer Aniston on Oprah yesterday. She phoned in to dispel rumors that Oprah is throwing her an $8 million wedding.
Jen?
Yes, my dear.
Anything else you have to tell us?
No, that would be it, Oprah.
Okay.
Weddings, no moves.
No moves.
No, but I'll keep you posted, too.
Okay, tell me so that I can tell the people, okay?
You got it.
Oprah, now is going to address the people.
Yes. Where does a rumor like that even start? Why would there be an assumption that Oprah would have to pay for a wedding of Jennifer Aniston, who makes probably $20 million
a
picture?
They're friendly, and Oprah was the first person to have Jennifer Aniston on after the Brad Pitt breakup.
I know, but it is insane. Like, her and Vince Vaughn don't combine for $35-40 million a year, as if she didn't get $100 million when she broke up with Pitt.
Yeah.
Of all people, like, you'd have to pay for her wedding.
Yes. I thought the most notable thing about that was, I've been watching Oprah since I was 14. I've never seen a phoner. You show up on Oprah. You don't just phone in.
Oh, I'll show you. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said boner.
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
Speaking of boner, Eva Longoria is in the news.
Yeah.
She was interviewed last night by Ryan Seacrest on E!, and she may, I'll let you judge, but she may have sounded a tad ungrateful about her bonus from Desperate Housewives executives.
So Felicity called me and she goes, you know, I think we're getting Cars tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So I sit down and they go,
she thought
that we appreciate your success, da 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 da, and this is from us. And it was an envelope. And I was like, what is this, a spa gift certificate? Like, what is this? And I open it and it's, you know, a check for $250,000. And I said, so we didn't get the car?
All right, she's just kidding.
Could have been a decorative popcorn tin.
Yes. Uncle Vince. Here's the thing. I've had an ass full of Eva Longoria. I don't know who decides who we need to hear more of. You know, I don't know if Nicole Richie, Eva Longoria, the Simpson sisters, other celebrities we don't give a right nut about. Please stop it. Whoever you are, if you're listening to this show, Eva Longoria, not fat, not old. That's about the best I'm going to say about her. Cute.
She's very
cute woman. Do not need to know every goddamn detail of her life. Really don't. Does a show I don't care about. Seems like it's losing a little bit of momentum. Desperate Housewives. Doesn't seem to be a spectacular actress. Seems a little full of herself. Has a nice life. Don't need to know any more about her. Please stop.
You'll be happy to know that she also announced that she's going to be leaving that show after her contract ends. Now, here is a very creepy and disturbing story we reported on earlier, a mother confronted a neighbor who allegedly sexually abused her 7-year-old son. She threatened to call the police on the neighbor, but reportedly accepted $600 to let the man molest her son again. At this point, both the mother and the neighbor are being held without bail, that according to Florida authorities.
Florida, another candidate for my definitely not a Jew.
You let your neighbor molest the kid for $600?
Yeah. Wow. What a delight. So, first time, he gets a freebie.
Right.
So, you give him a little sample, ass sample. That's what I'm going to do with my neighbor. I'm not going to go, listen, pay me up front to molest my kids. I'm going to go, you know, be like I'm in front of Hickory Farms.
Get
a little play a little grab ass, not too much. Whoop, whoop. Keep those fingers clean. Now, you like what you feel? All right. Now we got a long weekend coming up. Let's talk money. And as far as I go with the wife, sure, it's a tough sell. But my thing is got someone to watch a kid for the long weekend, got a few $100 of wham, walking around money, and we're on our way to wine country.
It seems like it might be a difficult thing to explain in this case to the father of her child that she allowed him to be molested again for $600.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough phone call, but someone's going to have to make it. All right, what else do you have?
On American Idol tonight, Rod Stewart will be the celebrity coach. That's it. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Tamashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
All right, hurry, Dave. We're out of time.
This is really pathetic. Bruska's reached a new low. He just wrote on the card, please.
Yeah, with a pen that was in his mouth.
We hope.
It's really pathetic. All right, embarrassing night in Chavez Ravine for the Dodgers. That 40-year-old nerd, Greg Maddux, came in and completely shut down the bats of the bums.
Oh, no. What are they, 500?
No, worse. Two games under now.
Oh, no.
Cubs
the season's over.
Cubs won 4-1. Padres
well, wait a minute.
The
There's
Rockies.
Only about 150 games for them to get back on track. Will they do it? Everybody. Will they do it? Only 150 games left for the Dodgers to reach 500. Just a short 150.
All right. Go poop in a bucket. I'm talking about baseball.
Decorative popcorn tin. All How right. dare you?
The Padres, speaking of dump, the Padres dumped the Rockies. Crazy game in Arizona. Giants went up 7 on the Snakes, blew it, then came back to win 10-9. Most importantly, Barry the creep Bonds didn't home run, and somebody threw a thing of toothpaste, which I guess was meant to represent the cream steroids that he wiped on himself or whatever.
Did they label it? Because otherwise it's just confusing, like you have bad breath or gingivitis.
You're right, right. Yeah. But, yeah, that said, I'm in favor of the booing that continues.
I like the booing and the throwing things on the field, but let's think it out.
You're right. Clear. You're right. One time they threw a needle, that made more sense.
Yeah, that made sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seattle M's lost in Boston. The Halos got dumped by the O's. And now it's time, since I have to truncate my sports for the umpteenth time, I am going to unveil a new segment called Coach's Corner, where we talk about coaches. Mm-hmm. But the twist is, the Coach's Corner, I'm spelling it both with K's. But I'm going to talk about coaches.
Like Krispy Kreme.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Coach's Corner.
Clever.
Now, thank you. Now, did you hear about Larry Brown, the coach of the Knicks? You know, legendary coach. He's coached all over in college and the pros. He's won NCAA
Olympics.
Crowns.
Yeah. Right. He did Letterman. When I did Letterman last about 3 or 4 months ago, or maybe 4 or 5 months ago, he was on that night, too. And I met him in the hallway. What a stiff.
Oh, he is. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Well,
zero personality.
Well, this was when he had just probably signed on with the Knicks, and there was a lot of optimism in Madison Square Garden. Well, he's tanked. He's been horrible. He always turns every team around until this year. The Knicks are the worst team in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has decided that he can't coach anymore this season. And why? Acid reflux.
Wow.
Wait, Ashley Simpson used that excuse. Which he didn't sing on SNL.
He can't coach because he's got the acid reflux?
That's my porn name, too, by the way.
Acid reflux.
Duke Lacrosse is what it started out with, but now it's acid reflux.
Well, the Lakers on the cusp of the playoffs. I hope Phil Jackson doesn't come down with some restless leg syndrome or something like that.
Sure.
Now, here's what a real coach is about. You want to talk about a man. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Leland. Remember Jimmy Leland with the skipper of those great pirate teams of the early 90s?
Yes, had a nice mustache.
Yes, won a World Series with the Marlins, used to smoke butts in the dugout. Cool.
That's how you know it's a sport.
Man's man, smoking the butts, you know. So now he's in the first season of resurrecting the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. Tigers been lousy for years, but they've come out playing well out of the gate early this year. But not yesterday, though. They got slaughtered 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
They got creamed by the Tribe. So Jimmy Leland showed his pack of multimillionaires who's boss. Listen to him in the post-game conference.
This seems like the most disappointing loss that
you've
had. Pardon me? This seems like
we stunk, period, stunk, and it's not good enough. It's been going on here before, and it's not going to happen here. It's not going to go on here.
What bothers you the most?
We're just a lackluster. The whole ball of wax was lackluster. It's just not good enough. We had a chance to take the series, 3 out of 4, and we come out here like, we just brought our luggage to the park. Well, we got a game to play, and then we go on the road. That's not good enough.
Did you let them know that?
That's none of your business.
He's awesome.
I gotta say this. I know I jump in. I sound like a broken record, but I do. I kid around a lot. But when you lose pivotal game 14 in the 162 season, it's over.
I know, but
he'll never come back. I would be throwing chairs in there. Do you understand?
Bobby
I would be
Knight
punching
like
out lockers. I mean, you lose pivotal game 14, 15, or 16, whichever one it was, of the 162 season. It's over. It's off. Pack
don't
it up.
See,
go
not,
home.
He's
go
not
home.
Letting them live in
no,
a...
go home.
No,
it's over.
No country club.
Over. Pack up your lockers. Go home.
He
it's
says
over.
No country club, you jerks. You're making too much money. You're gonna give out the best effort, or I'm going to give you what for. He dropped the hammer.
He knew the only way they could recover as if they won the game they played later on that night.
This is what a man does. This is the way a man conducts himself in the clubhouse.
No.
And it makes me hate Barry Bonds all over again, because he's the main reason why Jimmy Leland didn't win a crown with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
All right, it's not all Pittsburgh.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
We need to take a little break. Phil Hendry, one of my favorites. Funny guy in radio. And now on TV, Phil Hendry will be in here in just a second. If you're not hip to what Phil does, it is impressive. We'll straighten that out. We'll play it for you. It's unlike anything you've ever heard. Phil's going to be in here in a second. Also, we have Andrea Lowell from The Surreal Life 6. She's the Playboy hottie. She's coming in studio. All that coming up after this.
Hi, this is Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
There's a guy who does some voices.
That's a great... Got some pipes, that cat, don't he?
Phil Hendry's a guy.
I am Seth MacFarlane. Coming up, The Phil Hendry Show.
Wow.
Teachers on NBC.
You could work. You could work
at
radio.
Work, but I choose not to.
Well, you know what we got to do with Phil before we leave is have him do some liners. It's always been a running joke that Dr. Drew, my old partner, never thought was funny, but I used to do. I used to do this one. This week on Hack, in order to catch a counterfeiter, Hack must become a rapist. It always end in rapist. The beginning part would be international jewel thief. It'd always be in order to catch, but it would always end with a rapist. And he never thought that was funny. I always thought it was hysterical. Maybe you could try.
Doctor, man.
Give me a this week on Hack or something like that, but you have to end with rapist. That's how it is. In order to catch.
Yeah.
An international jewel.
This week on Hack, Hack must find the perpetrator of a terrorist attack on a synagogue, strangely enough, in Iraq. And because of that, he's got to join Saddam Hussein's sons as a rapist.
Yes.
See, that's not funny, but
no, but it's good.
Very
it's topical. Ends with rapist. That's
that was violent,
part.
Wasn't it? Sorry, folks, but it's early for me.
Phil is a guy I've... Well, I was going to say he's the reason I got into radio, but I was in radio before Phil. Phil's the reason I stayed in radio. This is how good radio can be.
You're a nice man. Hey, you know what, Adam? I got to publicly apologize to Jimmy here.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes, because I said some stuff on the air about Jimmy, and I was really, seriously, I said that I thought Crank Yankers was a lift on my show, and that was a bad thing to say, and I feel like a piece of crap. And I actually saw Jimmy, about a month ago, and... with Sarah at a hotel, and they bought us, well, I don't want to tell you what they were doing, but
motel,
they eventually bought us at a motel. Right. They bought us a bottle of wine, and he made me feel even lower than I felt. So I want to publicly apologize to him. He's a great man.
Well,
both of you guys have been really sweet to me, man, because when I first got to Los Angeles, the first guy to call me was Adam, of any radio people. I got hate mail from radio people. I got hate mail from other people.
Why?
In the business. I don't know, man. I got hate mail from a dude at KABC. And I said, this has never happened to me. The first guy to call me was in the business say, hey, we like your show, is Adam Carolla.
Well, I love this show. Well, what happened was, and then we'll play a clip of exactly what Phil does for those of you who don't know. It's the most entertaining stuff on radio. I was driving into work one night, driving into Loveline, and I was listening to Phil Hendry's show, and one of his characters was doing his top 10 TV shows of all time, and I think he had the Mary Tyler Moore Show at 9, and then he had Dick Van Dyke at like 8, and he had the Man Show at number 7. And Phil was arguing with him, although it's just arguing with himself. Now, who
was number 1? Was number 1 like Supercar or something like that?
I didn't get to that. Yeah. I started dialing at number 5. Yes. You got to Lidsville, and I started dialing at number 4. So I called in, and the thing that was funny is I got right through, and I said, hey, listen, this is Adam Carolla, and I'm, from The Man Show, and I've been listening to the show, and I just want to side with, what's the character's name who is doing that?
Probably with Doug Danger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
No, it was not Doug Danger. It was the intern. It was the young guy.
Bud Dickman, yeah.
Bud Dickman, right. Yeah. So I said, look, I got to side with Bud Dickman. I'm calling in. This is Adam from The Man Show. I just want to give him his props. And the guy who picked up the phone, which is perfect in radio, he goes, yeah, how do I know this is Adam Carolla? How do I know this is not some Yahoo just calling in pretending to be Adam Carolla? I never felt better in my life. Wow. But he said, how do I know you're not Adam Carolla and you're just saying you're Adam Carolla? And I said, well, ask me a question. Ask me anything you want. And he there was like a good five count, and he said, look, just don't screw me. I'm putting you through. He had no Adam Carolla trivia.
Well, you know, you hear your voice, man. It's pretty distinctive, unless there's some guy who's going around trying to be an Adam Carolla.
Well, who the hell would want to do that?
Hey, dude, one of these days, you're going to get your identity thieved from you, and you'll find out.
Sitting about 2 feet away from him.
Right. You're under arrest for, well, you're under arrest for rape, as a matter of fact. All those rape jokes? Well, guess what? Well, wait a minute. That's not me. Sure.
Phil is, Phil is on AM 570 out here in Los Angeles and then syndicated throughout the country. Now, Phil does a radio show where he essentially provides the guests in the form of voices and characters. He does men, he does women. So we'll give you a little clip. We brought a little clip in. I believe this is Margaret from the Western Homeowners Association. The hell's her name?
Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, she's the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
That's right. But I don't know if that's her or who's the other chick.
And the other chick is Margaret Gray. She's married to Frank, a retired television producer who's now, you know, on oxygen because of emphysema. And Frank's fine, except he confuses gender. Mm-hmm. So he'll say, well, young man, how are you today, Phil? I'm doing great. And how's that TV show? It's going pretty good. Sir Alexander, he's a piece of ass, isn't he? Yeah, he is. And now is Dionne Richmond on that show? Yeah, Dionne's on the show. She is a talent. But I want to tell you, so that's the only, that's the residual effect of a gonorrhea infection that he had.
This, by the way, is Kristen Brewster.
Oh, Colleen Kristen Brewster. She owns a travel agency.
That's right.
Very proud of her banana yellow pantsuit.
Well, here she is. And keep in mind, Phil is Phil, and Phil is Colleen as well.
What is your point?
I have a question for the lady from France. When's the last time you shaved your underarms?
Always. Every morning. Because that's a part of cleanness.
Are you from France or not?
Yes.
Well, then she's lying, Phil.
Oh, she lives in America.
You're lying for a prostitute. You're comparing an angel like Princess Diana with class.
I went to the Moulin Rouge one time, and the girls there didn't have
nothing but a whore.
Derba Carter is not a whore. Woman.
Look at the lady just said she's a whore.
She was on television that night.
She doesn't spread.
You know, and then now
she won't spread for anybody lower than Larry King.
I like when the callers start pleading with you, Phil.
Phil, please intercede.
Get this idiot off the phone.
Yeah, Phil. Well, that's the dynamic, you know.
I always like this one, too. Phil, I enjoy the show. I love you, but you put these idiots on the phone. That's the show.
Yeah. You know, and the thing about Colleen, you can tell that's a horrible voice, but it's really not about the voice. It's about the character. And the other thing that's important is to know which issue is really explosive enough whereby people sort of just, they go blind all of a sudden in terms of the non-reality. That's
yes, I like Jay, about, my favorite. And by the way, I think I'm kissing Phil Hendry ass. About 5 years ago, as a gift for our friend Tony Barbieri, one of the writers from The Man Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live, I bought him the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt.
Oh, there you go.
Which he proudly wears around. This guy's from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he calls in and explains that they want to do checks, gynecological exams on women, and blah, 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 and people call in outraged. If this guy stopped my wife on the street, wanted to perform a gynecological, I would...
Well, you know, because the problem is, Phil, Adam... Very nice to be on our program. I'm Jay Santos. This is very pleased. And the other thing about Jay is...
What's the uniform, by the way, Jay?
Well, it's a pith helmet, and we wear a blue armband. We wear Bermuda shorts, wingtips with socks. Now, the whole thing with Jay is he's from Western Pennsylvania. If you know people from Pennsylvania, they have a tendency to swallow their L's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in other words, they can't say the name. Lovett is impossible for them to say Lovett. Will Lindsay Lohan be there, too? Yeah, we're going to have Lindsay Lohan and Lovett, you know. And anyway, last night, a cat's on the air, and he said, Phil, we're going to be... Well, the gynecological thing was, why are you doing that, Jay? Phil, you know, I don't want to be... I know I've got a lady here, and certainly that's important, but, you know, when a woman reaches menopause, Phil... All right, she had a little vaginal itching, that kind of nonsense. And they're liable to be reaching down there and scratching, you know, one hand on the wheel. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing, man? Well, you know, pull women over, we do a flare drop, and we do every other car, we will do a gynecological exam, you know, this kind of crap.
And people calling up, if this guy pulls my wife over...
on the hood of the car, right. And there's a woman...
thinks he's going to perform one on my wife, I swear to God, Bill, I will... Now that's a threat. That's a threat, sir.
Yeah, but what's really, for me, what's great is when they get... we had a girl call, and she was crying. because we'd had a kid on saying, yeah, you know, I love to do, I slingshot cars, you know, on the freeway, man. You know, it's like a gang initiation, all that kind of thing. This little girl calls her to break, and she says, I'm afraid because my mommy drives to work at night. And I said, honey, you know, hold on for a minute, because I'm a parent, and I got her on the air, and I said, look, we're just doing funny voices. We're just making all of this up, and we'll bust that whenever we have to so that we're not freaking out a kid,
right,
or somebody who is very, very upset. But right, we also know the difference between someone who's really upset and someone who's trying to manipulate the emotional. Somebody will call up and say, you know, you're talking about stepdaughters. My stepdaughter was raped and killed. Really? I bet you she was a piece of ass. How dare you? You know, yes. Because people will try and they'll try and control the, control the show with their calls.
I know.
So. He's laughing at that one.
I love it.
Another Phil, rape joke coming up.
We're going to...
can't get enough.
We have to take a break. Phil is also in Teachers. I should mention the new sitcom on NBC Tuesday nights, 9:30. Tonight. 9:30. We'll take a quick break. Back with more Phil Hendry after this.
I think that Darla shows a little bit of class. She has stated
that she will respect a woman with class.
She will
have zero minus billions of zeros, whatever class.
Zero minus zillions of zeros. God, you're so weird.
Just a minute, loudmouth.
You're very weird.
You call her classy. You don't know what class is, baby. Go look around. There are a lot of women.
And by the way, your country killed Diana.
Don't worry.
So how dare you?
Phil Hendry, everybody.
The French. Who haven't they killed?
Phil Hendry Show. Weeknights, 7 to 10, AM 570 out here in Los Angeles, and then syndicated throughout the country. Also, you can listen online.
Excuse me.
Go to philhendryshow.com. Hendry, not Henry.
Yeah, it's Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and that's the way the grandfather spelled it.
Phil is in studio. Also, Teachers on NBC tonight at 9:30. Yeah. A lot of fans of Phil waiting to call in. Richard?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
What's happening?
Hey, Phil, I love your show, man. It's next to, obviously, the Adam Carolla show. It is got to be the funniest thing I've ever
heard. Thank you. I heard you call last hour, too, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, hey, I just got to tell you how I got turned on your show. My brother, about 3 years ago, he caught it from one of his friends. But anyway, one of the first ones I heard, I could not believe what I was hearing. It was that you were playing like a TV producer, and you were pitching a show where you wanted to have blind people go through an obstacle course, and you wanted to name it Pitfall.
Yeah. And there was a set of metal stairs they might fall down, right?
Yeah. That was the funniest thing. I couldn't believe it. And one other thing before I
worry about that, man, not to interrupt, I'm sorry, but man, that's happening. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Within the next year, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be cooking and boxing blind. It'll be great.
Cooking blind.
Redecorating.
Let me just say this, by the way, about cooking. Who decided and who signed off on us being in love with watching people cook? I'd rather see someone defecate than cook. I walk in the kitchen, someone's cooking, I hurry right past them and go to the television set, not to watch people cooking.
You saw last night.
Celebrity
cook-off hosted by Alan Thicke. It was ridiculous.
I understand when celebrities box, I understand when celebrities dance even, but cooking, what have we come to?
Are you supposed to eat it after they cook it? That's not great. They know how to cook. Boil water.
I have no idea, and the fact that there's steaks, the fact that they have only given them, ironically, steaks, given them 15 minutes to finish their dish, and then you got what's-her-name from the internet, who's got to walk, and it's... Who cares?
Wow,
am I right?
Tight end Tony Gonzalez. These are the celebrities cooking.
I like it when they ice skate.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Phil, for the laugh, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Let's talk to Chad. Chad?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I listen to you every morning and Phil every night. Phil's my favorite, dude. My favorite's R.C. Collins.
Yeah.
When he says Semper Fi to the Marines.
Yeah.
Yeah, the young teenager.
The Bradley military
going into battle.
Well, are you kidding or do you like me?
I'm a Marine there.
I'm going to go. I want to eat my own guts. I'm psycho. Me and my bros are psycho and everything. But father's bottling plant this summer.
Why don't you bug off?
Yeah, you can take bug off and shove it.
Anyway, yeah, the kid thinks he's hot stuff. And
yeah, R.C. always talks about what it's like in wartime conditions, but right. He's never left the confines of the military academy. Yeah. And everyone, all the ex-vets call in outraged.
Yeah, and he also, I'm going to volunteer and go to Iraq and fight, but I also want to have an option clause. If it gets too hairy, they'll medevac us out of there.
You know, so they're... And, you know, you have the soldiers calling, don't you understand what combat conditions are? You can't have someone medevac.
Well, what if it gets too hairy?
So what if it gets too hairy, man? That's what you signed up for. That's what you got to do.
Well, I understand it. I want to do that, but I just want the option of leaving if it's too hairy.
You don't have no option, man.
And you do it. I always wonder, as I listen, so do all the other people that are fans of Phil Hendry, do you use two mics? Do you have a flip?
Just one microphone.
Do you have a switch that you throw?
The only thing that I do, Adam, is it's really basic because, you know, we came up in radio. You got a beautiful setup here, man, and I do, too. People don't remember, you know, or know that. When Adam and I started, most likely for Adam, and I know for me, the equipment was a cheesy mixing board with sparks flying out of the back of it, and so you had to use what you had. So I use a telephone and the microphone, and when I'm literally talking into a phone when I'm doing the character with my mic fader pot or the volume control down, and when I go to the mic, I simply throw the volume up, and I move the phone away so I'm not getting any feedback between the phone and the mic.
When I first started in radio, and it wasn't that long ago, it was only about 11 or 12 years ago, Jimmy Kimmel told me that if I could learn to cut tape, to physically cut audio tape with a razor blade and then tape it, It was archaic. We're talking about 1995
here. It's true, man, yeah.
But you physically would cut the tape and then tape it. When you're doing a man on the street bit or doing a bit, you would edit it together by cutting it.
Yeah.
Jimmy basically said, look, if you can learn this skill, you're in. If not, there's probably no place for you here at the radio station. And I just looked at him cutting the tape, taking 2 hours to splice together an 18-second bit, and I thought, well, I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
God.
Remember those days? And now it's all digital.
Yes. I knew a day like this would come when I'd have some flunky like Big Tad doing my bidding for me, and everything would be digital. And thank God I didn't do it. You know, people always talk about, thank God I went to that college. Thank God I listened to the advice. How about thank God for all the crappy advice you've ignored over your life? That, you know, I could fill a thimble with the good advice I'd listen to. I could fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool with this
advice.
Stuff. You better learn the metric system, son. Otherwise, you ain't going to be employable.
Yeah.
All right? Not going to do that either.
Best bad advice I ever got was, Phil, if you learn how to just the art of tiling swimming pools, I think you make a hell of a good living.
Yeah,
I mean, wonderful life.
These voices, that's fun for your friends, but you got to make some walking around money.
Yeah, that sounds like my dad. You know, look, you're pissing your life away. I know you're gonna. You know,
who is? Voices. I'm trying to think of the name of your character.
By the way, I've got some names for your kids.
Oh, you do.
You got
prospective
twins. Is that right?
Yes, and then you tell me who the gigolo who says sexuality instead of sexuality is. I can't think of his name. All right, give me my kids.
I know you're having twins, Adam. You're having boys, a boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl.
I was thinking for the boys, Maurice. I just dig that name, don't you?
I like it. It's cool.
Leon.
Leon is strong, too.
Amon. It's a German name, Amon.
Yeah.
Or Marcel.
I like Maurice so far. And keep in mind, I've already decided on the middle name as being Hollywood. Maurice Hollywood Corolla.
Dude, that's...
Wow.
That is strong. All right. And then for the girls, I only got a couple, but I like both of these. Well, I've always been fond of these because I've got two aunts, Sandy or Gidget.
Well, Gidget, so it's like Sandy. Yes, Sandra D played Gidget, so there's a connection there.
There's a whole six... Yeah, it feels good.
Gidget Hollywood Corolla. Yeah.
Gidget or... what about just something very simple like... Candy or...
Well, I'm worried, you know, I'm trying to stay away...
Have you thought about Bubbles?
I'm staying away from the Cammies and the Tammies and the Brandies. All the stripper...
Oh, sure,
all the stripper names, you know?
Plus that song.
Yeah,
just
there's
go through your head.
Nobody named Cammy or Tammy or Brandy that's ever made a penny who wasn't on her back.
Well, I don't see anybody in Network
News. Well, sometimes they're on a pole.
Yes.
And now NBC Nightly News with Candy Samples. Candy?
Jeff Probst, hold on, claims to be on the phone. Jeff?
Yeah, let me tell you, it was so hard to convince the guy that answered the phone that was me, and I'm thinking, who would pretend to be Jeff Probst?
I would if I was trying to get laid. Times, yeah.
Yeah, I called Dennis Prager as Jeff Probst once.
I even got a set of puka shells I keep in my car in case I'm trying to score.
Hey, I called in to say I am such a Hendry fan.
Thank you, man.
All the questions you're asking, Kroll, are the ones I wanted. I envision you in this studio wondering what the heck is going on. And when I first moved to L.A., I bought the show Hook, Line, and Sinker. You had some guy out in a field shooting a shotgun.
Yeah,
years ago.
Shot himself, killed himself.
Yeah.
It was supposedly a suicide, but the shotgun blast was to his back. And, you know, and the guy's like, wait a minute, well, how can that be? Well, what happened was, yeah, I don't know if it was a suicide or it was an accidental shooting, but in any event, supposedly he was surprised by something, so the shotgun went up in the air, and then he went also to scratch his back, and anyway, somehow he shot himself in his back. And we had a guy call, and it's like, I've been hunting for several years, I can tell you that story is bull crap. You know, it's like, the day we had a guy, you know, well, it is Halloween night, Mr. Hendry, and of course, as an airline pilot, we're mostly afraid of any goblins or witches getting sucked into the turbine of the jet aircraft. Now, an aircraft pilot calls, and he says, I can assure you that if any man felt that a witch or a goblin or a werewolf were to get sucked into the turbine, I would have that man removed from my flight deck. That man is insane. And, you know, so, where were we?
Jeff?
Well, Jeff's gone. Yeah. He hung up.
No, I'm
a
here.
Long time ago.
I was just thinking about the slow realization I had that I was listening, going, "This is L.A. is crazy." There's a guy with a shotgun, and then as the bit kept going, I started realizing, "Wait a second, this something isn't right here." And then I started listening for a few nights, and now, of course, like you've probably already talked about this, but it's just fascinating when somebody calls up and doesn't know. And the woman that does,
Yeah, that's Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley.
Mm-hmm.
From the Western Homeowners Association.
Really, really annoying.
Yes.
And I'm the president of Western States Homeowners Association. And people will talk to me, and I'll just, as if I'm interested in what they're saying, I couldn't care less.
It's always funny because the person is going, Bobby, you listen to me. I'm a single mother, okay? I raised two children, and I raised them proudly. And don't cut me off. I raised my two children, and you know, we don't have the money, and we don't live in the gated community. But I'll tell you what. My kids go to school, and they take their showers, and they study their homework, and she just cuts them off, and they go berserk. Who are your kids? Mm-hmm. Bobby, are your kids Brandon? Who are your kids?
You know, I have three sons, Dylan, Seth, and Justin. Very yuppie names, very Gen X, boomer, stupid, asinine, quasi-homosexual names like that, that they'll have to get older with, grow up. He'll be the CEO of a company, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And we named, and oh, Steve is my husband. I almost forgot. And he has sex with a lot of different women.
Steve's always in the background, grunting.
Yeah, he's always in the background. Hey, Bobby, tell him about the day.
Shut up, Steve. And anyway.
You know, that character, Jeff, you know, as a matter of fact, that character came about driving to work one night, and it was when L.A. was going to, the Valley was going to secede. I don't know if you remember that, but the Valley was thinking about seceding from L.A. And I heard this woman, and she was like, what? I grew up with these people in Los Angeles. These suburban fascists is what I call them. And they're just,
and we feel that in the Valley, we have a much better opportunity of having police protection, and it was going like that. And she sounded like an automaton.
So I got into work, and I said, I know exactly who that woman is. My mother. And actually, my mom, there's a lot of my mom in that character.
Bobby?
You know, Bobby, oh, my mom was like,
honey, why do you masturbate? Is there a reason for that? Why do you draw pictures of women with large jugs?
Gee, I don't know, Mom. I'm 13. It's a thing that I do.
I like it just when they want to know. They're not going to pass judgment. They just want to know.
I'm just curious. Why do you draw pictures of women with large breasts?
Mom, close the door!
Yeah, you know. The psychosis created by, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. We'll be right back here on Dr. Phil.
Jeff.
Jeff, hey. Brother.
I want to thank you for calling in. I want to tell you that I watch the show. I watch every week. As you know,
yes.
I do a Survivor dance.
Yes.
Yes.
And you guys have shortened the beginning. now.
Yeah,
the song
more show on.
Is only a couple of beats, so it's really hurt
was,
my cardio training.
Yes.
Thank you. Come in and see us, by the way, Jeff.
I will.
Please.
All right.
Survivor, I don't need a card. Thursday nights on... Yeah, Thursday.
You know, I was just calling in to talk to Mr. Hendry. It was a pleasure. The
nice to meet you, man.
Guys.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
And all right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks,
brother.
Jeff.
Later on.
Come by anytime. Call in anytime. Survivor Thursday nights at 8 o'clock on CBS. We need to take a break. We'll come back. Phil is going to read from the Star Jones book.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yes, and then we have our super hot playmate, Andrea Lowell.
Is she out there?
Surreal Life 6. Yes, I just watched it last night. Take a quick break. Right back after this. From time to time, we like to have our guests or the characters they do read from the Star Jones book, Shine.
When I walked into that room the day I met Al Scales Reynolds, I didn't walk in with the intention
of meeting someone. I walked in with my mind on feeling good about me.
On one date, our president busting the shoe cop killer.
But there came a time when I became fat, out of shape,
sloppy, morbidly obese, and not star.
Because it was my job, sir, to break up Satan's airwaves.
Now, personally speaking, I'm a glamour girl 24-7.
And now here's Chewbacca finishing it off.
Phil Hendry.
Who are all those folks?
Just a bunch of no names that came in here before you. No Phil Hendry's in the
group.
One
of them had to be Fleischer, wasn't it? Nah.
No.
Okay.
But he is smart. He does know math, that man. Phil can be found weeknights 7 to 10 on AM 570 when he's not being preempted by the stupid Lakers.
Oh,
the Lakers?
Yes. Ah, yes, the Lakers.
Makes me angry.
Acids.
Also, you can be found tonight, Tuesday nights, 9:30, NBC Teachers. I forgot Phil does a bunch of great characters, great voices, great radio show. Ted Bell, who owns Ted Bell Steakhouse. One day, Ted was trying to raise money for the troops. I believe one of my favorite calls, except for it just turned into a scam where he was raising money for himself and people would call in outright. Ted's claim to fame is that he invented putting the foil around the baked potato.
Right. And Ted Bell is one of those guys with a perennial smile. Hi, everybody. I'm Ted Bell, the Ted of Beverly Hills. You come on in. I'll give you a steak. You've never wrapped your lips around sweeter meat. And I'll tell you something else. Which, by the way, remember, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And I was going to, which, by the way, they wouldn't let us do over at the other place.
But anyway, and people would call in and be like, Phil, get this guy off the air. It's a half-hour-long infomercial about his steakhouse.
About his steakhouse,
he doesn't care about the troops. He doesn't care about kids with autism. He doesn't care about anyone. He says he's running. He's raising money for himself, Ted of Beverly Hills. And Ted just goes on to talk about his collection of exotic automobiles.
Yeah. Well, I've got the wonderful McLaren SLR, Phil. I've never heard of that. You've never heard of the McLaren SLR? Well, that's not surprising. But Phil, I want to tell you something. I'm very grateful to give to the Phil Hendry Show the floor seats that I have for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I'm very grateful, Ted, that you donated those. Well, you know, anything I can do. I was not informed that you're going to be giving these to the who? Where are these going? They're going to the kids, the Cancer Research Center for the kids. All right. So in other words, that means that there's going to be kids, kids with the cancer going to be in the seats? Yeah, a lot of the kids suffer from cancer, but we... Okay. See, I was not informed of that. I can't have it. I can't have what? I can't have some bald freak. See, understand, Phil? And then it degenerates from there.
Yeah. And then a few plugs for Ted's of Beverly Hills.
In between plugs,
And then people outraged that he's calling in.
Is it? I can't have a kid, you know, these retarded kids. I shouldn't say retarded, but the kids that can't. What's the matter? Well, you know, they eat a hot dog, the hot dog and the bun separately. And they're, you know, they're, well, look at it, man. So he sucks.
Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, invented the potato with the foil. Not the potato, foil. Not the foil, but putting the foil around the potato.
That's right, yeah. And the Ted, come in and have a Ted, which is Captain Morgan's and Coke. What, just gave it a name? I just gave it a name, yeah.
He invented a rum and Coke he's taking credit for, too.
Taking credit for.
You know. All right. I'll tell you, I love the foiled potato.
Sure.
I don't know if I've ever done it at home. There's some certain things that are just for restaurants, and I can't explain what it is, but the foil on the potato outlawed in the home kitchen.
How come?
It's
weird. Easy to do, man.
Oh, I know. I've never done it at home, but yet I love it when I go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I just belched.
But they don't do it on a barbecue at Ted's. They do it in an oven.
Oh,
right?
No. Yeah, we do it right in the oven, Adam. The thing you want to do is take, and we also invented this. You put the foil in potato. Okay, that's fine. I invented that. And then I thought I need to invent one more thing. And I was trying to think about what it was. Oh, I know. Poke it with a fork.
You put a hole with a fork.
Oh, Ted, that's amazing. So you invented that on two separate days? About a year apart. Yeah. the potato, was exploding in the foil until you figured out to vent it?
Just like, a year.
You're high, Ted.
All right. Well, Ted, or I should say Phil, is going to be doing a little reading for us from the Star Jones book. Now, what character would you like to use?
Well, Adam, I do a character that I love very deeply. Her name is Mabel Leonard,
mm-hmm.
and she lived in Southgate, California.
Heavy set woman of color?
I'm not heavy set. It was a time, though, but I'm 78 year old. Now, mm-hmm. I've been everywhere. I marched with Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
All the new Negro today. That's all that. All the new Negro.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I don't play that.
Are you a fan of Star Jones's?
I love Star Jones. She is a sister. I'm not really with the sister thing. I think she a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She a woman,
Okay. Not a sister.
She not a sister. She a woman,
Right. I understand.
But I love her. I love all the young women. Oprah had that thing up at her house. She all the
Legends Ball.
Legends Ball. She didn't invite me, because mm-hmm. there's a legend, and then that people just don't have money, and she don't.
Right.
She don't play. Not gonna have me there,
Right.
So she can go suck a fat man's. I love Star because I don't think she's all about. It ain't gone to her head yet.
No, it's not about Star. See, not
right.
her book.
Yeah, it's about a book. It's not about her.
Right. She's trying to help other people find love the way she has.
That's right. And also lose weight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's hear a little snippet from that, please.
I love this. Thank you very much, Adam. Have me on here. And my name is Mavis Leonard. I'm a retired middle school teacher. And this is Star Jones' book. At my heaviest, I never exercise. I don't...
You're crying already?
I don't know if it was because I was too tired to exercise, because I was too fat, or just too tired, period. Whatever the reason for my couch potato status, I knew I now had to start somewhere. Portion control and nutrition wasn't enough. I had to fine-tune the engine, firm up the chassis. Exercise would ensure the performance of my heart, lung, muscle, and increased flexibility, not to mention the look of my flabby ass. Or a flabby upper arm. It also would have an effect on my emotional readiness for a partner. A man to crawl on and love. A man to get on and lay on like a vice.
Wow.
And have him. Have him over and over until he can't breathe. I love to have a man lock my leg around his head. And all that mess. But people don't think I can do it. I can do it. I lock my hell. I had a man head there, and
he's ad libbing. I think Mavis got a little off script.
I had to ad lib because the book is so damn boring. I had to make stuff up.
It's good. For once, we had a entertaining passage from the book. I can't believe it was about Star Jones. Normally.
Yeah, see,
it's universal advice.
Who painted up the black teeth here? Look at that. They made her look like a fool.
No, I know. It's very sad.
Very, very childish.
I would go ahead and classify that as a hate crime, by the way.
That is. Anytime you put gold, you put black on a black woman's teeth, that's a hate crime. You put gold there, that's a good thing.
Is the mustache they put on her a hate crime also?
Yeah, that mustache, because it make her look like a bullfighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah, you don't hear about the black female bullfighters.
Not anymore, you don't.
Cliff divers and bullfighters.
Yeah, no, you don't hear about it anymore.
They used to.
Oh, there was a time that's all there was.
I always love when people explain there was a time when every heavyweight champion was Jewish and the greatest whatever. And my question is always, what happened? You know what I mean?
Hey, like, something?
Brag about it.
It's an interesting thing about the Cinderella Man fight. Mm-hmm. Which was Braddock and Max Baer. Now, what people don't know from that movie, because Ron Howard muted it, and he had his reasons, he had a story to tell, but Max Baer had a Star of David on his trunks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not Jewish.
Wasn't Jewish, but identified with the plight of the Jewish people at the time. First, it was a myth that Max Baer was Jewish, but he wanted to be seen as Jewish because he knew what was happening in Europe at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a matter of something he wanted to make a statement about. So Max Baer also was terribly devastated when Ernie Schaaf died. And I think the movie makes him look like some almost pompous sociopathic man, you know, which is not true. And I know that, like I said, Howard has to tell this story about Braddock being this great guy, but Max Baer wasn't a sociopath. He was devastated when Ernie Schaaf died.
He was crazy. Max Baer, if you ever watch footage of his fighting,
yeah,
he would do stuff like he was the original sort of S-talker in the ring and would do stuff where he would like go out to shake a guy's hand and spin him around and whack him in the back of the head and then do a thing like, shucks, I'm sorry,
oh, I'm
and then
sorry.
Whack him in the back of the head again. He was dirty and weird
showman
in the ring. And yeah. a showman, yeah. even back then, of course, his son, Max Baer Jr., went on to Beverly Hills Hillbilly. Fame.
Into hillbilly fame, yeah.
Yeah, that was his...
Don't you know that that's his
Jethro
son?
Jethro is his son.
You don't even know what the Beverly Hillbillies is, do you?
I do so.
Too young.
But thank you for assuming I'm too young.
Well, Mavis, nice job on the Star Jones book.
Well, I was doing a Phil Henry voice there, too.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Thank you very much. I just busted in the whole...
Well, hi, Adam. Thank you very much.
It's something I do.
I was wondering if Ted Bell was going to come in with the couch potato talk. Talking about putting some holes in her, letting her breathe.
You know, yeah, but see, I don't, that white man, ooh.
You don't dig him, do you?
No, I don't like him at all.
Well, Ted, you know.
Well, you did. Just keep him away from me and I'll stay away from him. How about that? All right, fine.
Phil, what the hell am I doing here?
I don't know. Phil Hendry, everybody. Weeknight, 7 to 10, AM Thank 570 you. Out here in Los Angeles. Go to PhilHendryShow.com to find, all the stations he's on. Teachers, tonight, Tuesday, 9:30.
9:30, NBC.
NBC. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Adam, very much, man.
Come by anytime you like.
Oh, I will.
We'll take a break. We got news. We got sports. We also have Andrea Lowell from Surreal Life in next.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Andrea Lowell is here from the Surreal Life 6. See, I watched the last two episodes where you guys went up and did a little news show. And now, last night I watched. Well, the show's on Sunday nights, 9 o'clock, VH1. Was on last night as well. I guess they rerun it.
The reruns are ridiculous the Surreal Life shows, yeah.
Quite a bit. It's how you get into them, by the way. It's when they show the marathon on the weekend, and you get trapped. And before you know it, you've watched 26 episodes of it.
Yeah.
And you just get sucked in. That's how they hook you. Mm-hmm. That's the heroin.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the weekend marathons.
It's always on a holiday when you're home, not doing anything, and then you watch eight of them.
It is really a very sad realization when you take a good look in the mirror and realize you spent a Saturday watching 26 Surreal Lives. I just watch, or like, I watch The Real World. I watch 11 and a half Real Worlds consecutively, and I'm angry that I have to stop. Andrea is from Playboy, a former playmate. She
former, you'll never return.
Well, you know, I actually do the special editions mostly, which is, you know, like the college girls, the natural beauties, the book of lingerie. I've been in 16 of those, and I'm most known for my work on Playboy TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my main job is Playboy TV.
Sex-cetera.
Yeah, and we do a show also called Totally Busted, which is a hidden camera show where we get naked.
I enjoy that one.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
And you do a naked news show. Yeah, that one unfortunately went on a permanent hiatus, we like to call it. But I was a weather girl on that for 9 months, and it was really fun.
I like Totally Busted because it's sort of innocent. It's always the same thing. They have some guy. He's going to call in. He's going to come in. His job is to watch the pool. Then he stands there staring at the pool. It's always a millionaire. And then hot chicks come out and get naked and want suntan lotion rubbed on them. And then a huge black man shows up and he says, it's his job to watch the girls and what the hell are you doing? And the guy craps his pants and then.
Yeah. And the only reason the guys stick around, these marks we call them, is because we're topless.
Naked
or,
women everywhere.
You know,
and
right.
bottomless, I might add.
Some of them, yeah.
You know what I'd like to do? I know this isn't for you, Andrew, but. You know, Sexcetera is pretty good, but it's got some news and stuff. And then there's that show we always talk about, Real Sex. I think that's HBO. And you think, oh, this is going to be good. And it turns out it's guys that are being suspended by their areolas from Germany. Or it's some nudist camp thing for people that are 50 plus. It's the Grey Panthers. a lot of guys with the scrotum dragging on the ground and women with the breasts on the ground, and you think, ah, I thought this was going to be good. Now I'm disgusted by this. I thought I might pleasure myself, but instead I'm now going to have to take a couple days off. I just wonder, in today's TiVo world, and the ladies can do this too, it'd be nice if you could kind of punch in what you dig. And I know you kind of can on a TiVo, but I'm talking in terms of erotica. You know what right. I mean? Like, I'm a boob man, and I like this, and I like that, and I don't need any weird this or that. I don't want anyone getting it on a bear trap or anything. I want this, and I want that. And then it would just go find it for you.
Right.
It knew what it was. What would yours be? What would you put in there, Andrea?
You know, I'm really into, like, food as an aphrodisiac.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe mud wrestling with chocolate pudding or something to that effect. That would be kind of hot to watch.
Noted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you'd probably get some crap. You know, you get the naked chef.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Or
turns out just be some limey with bad teeth telling you how to make goat's head stew.
Oh.
Not nude at all. That it would get confused. You'd have to define it a little more than that.
But you like the probably food and sex combo? Some food. I mean, not like barbecue sauce and sex, but, yeah. You know.
You don't want pate rubbed on you, but a little exactly. Whipped cream. You ever done that?
Whipped cream?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course.
You have.
Well, that was elementary. Then
I like
you moved
the, of
on
course.
To chocolate sauce.
Honey? No, not honey. I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm. What else? Anything?
Yeah.
I once shot a Tic Tac off myself into a waiting mouth.
Some people think this is kind of disgusting, but yogurt and like is amazing.
Oh, yogurt
really?
With oral.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Who's that for, by the way?
Yeah, male to female. Female to male. Male
really?
male recipient.
Right, but is that for him? That's not for him.
No, it's for the
for
giver.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got yogurt for you.
Oh, easy.
Why did I know that was coming?
For some reason, it's just like...
Plain.
Makes you more...
Salivate more?
Yeah, it's more... It's just... It I just makes you. It better.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Absolutely. Because it's tangy.
Yeah. What flavor you go with?
Peach.
You go with peach?
Yeah.
All right.
Peach yogurt sales rising today in Los Angeles.
I enjoy the show. I like Alexis Arquette, who basically is a man who dresses as a woman and then goes out whenever somebody looks at him. This crazy he-she gets violently angry and yells, "What's your problem?"
Alexis is actually a transgendered female. She is a she.
It's a... Oh, he... She had he. I'm just going to say he.
Okay.
For the sake of argument,
confusing.
Alexis
right.
Arquette is one of the Arquettes,
right?
One of the acting Arquettes, and originally started as a male,
right?
And has had his genitalia removed, and in its place, a vagina has been put,
right?
I know broken old English there, but
yes.
That's so. There's nothing for you to put yogurt on.
No,
right?
Just yogurt in.
Well,
it's not a yogurt stick, it's a yogurt bucket.
You could put yogurt on the female, too.
That's what I'm saying,
you
but
could.
I mean...
You
peach
could.
Yogurt.
Right.
Works with every gender.
Right.
So there is a vagina there.
As far as I know.
Oh, I don't...
As far as I know.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird because it's... I don't know.
Well, you know, I saw the before.
You did?
And it was big.
You did?
Really? Yeah, she actually offered
was it in a mason jar or where... Oh,
no, before it was removed.
Right, before it was removed during the taping of Surreal Life?
Right.
Oh, so now since Surreal Life?
From what I know.
Oh, okay.
From
well, that would explain my confusion.
What are you talking about? He offered it to you.
He said, or she said, well, you know, it's going to be gone soon. So if you want to be one of the last people to experience it, it's pretty big and it's pretty good.
And?
And this is not my thing.
Mm. So no yogurt for you.
There's not enough yogurt for me to go there.
Interesting. But presented it to you.
Yes.
Presented the phallus to you and wanted you to perform something on it?
It was more discreet than that, but just it was offered.
It was like
a
when people
times.
Drop a religious pamphlet off to you and says, look, if you want to read it, read it. If not, you know, at your leisure. I'll do that with my genitalia.
Absolutely. That was
like to spread yogurt on it. That's fine. If you want to wait for the weekend or do it on the plane, please. Be discreet. I'll be over here. Yes. All right. We need to take a break because Sherman Helmsley called in and he was subtitled on your show, which I find disturbing for a guy who was born in Louisiana. Steve Harwell explaining on last night's show that he'd lost his six-month-old to leukemia.
Uh-huh.
Very sad. Tani Katane, who seems insane, Oh, nose candy. Yeah, gotcha. She's getting into it with Florence Henderson. Yep. You don't like Florence either.
Not too much.
All right. Well,
she's got some dirt on her.
When we come back, we're going to offer our penises to her.
Florence?
Or Andrea either.
Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm. You hear that, Andrea?
Yeah.
Andrea Lowell here from The Surreal Life 6. Many things on Playboy, etc. Night calls, things like that. Although I'm a fan of Surreal Life. I think I've seen just about every installment. Maybe not every single episode of every season, but certainly all the seasons. Andrea was, when we left off, we're trying to get a little update on Arquette, Alexis Arquette, who probably started as Alex Arquette.
She claims she was always Alexis. It was her given name.
So you have a young son and you name the son Alexis?
Supposedly.
Yeah, that's probably Alex. And again, if you're going to go ahead and change genders, go ahead and change your name. Do you know what I mean? I always do that. Well, it was Kurt, now it's Karina. Just pick another letter, pick another sound, go off. Your family would probably appreciate that. That's all.
Start from scratch.
Right. Yes, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We were talking about that, and you found out something. What was the information?
Well, actually, Andrew was telling me that during the Surreal Life, Alexis Arquette was simply a transvestite.
Transvestite.
She was pre-op.
Here's the whole thing. There's transvestite, there's transsexual, and then there's pre-op transsexual.
She was a pre-op transsexual.
Yes, right. And actually she's now going through or has gone through sexual reassignment surgery, all of which is being documented on an A&E special airing in 2006.
I like the gender reassignment or sexual reassignment, as you call it. It's like, first off, it becomes official. It's like, all right, vagina's over here. Penises, go to back. Yes.
Reassigning you.
You know, the only thing I think is going to be disappointing about this A&E
Hold on.
Special.
Adam's penis up front. I know you can't see back there. Get up here. Get up here, son. Get on the shoulders of one of the vaginas so you can see what's going on. All right. Fantastic. Let's start now.
Yes. You were saying.
The reassignment that they're going to film, they're going to have to pixelate because they can't show it. And I would like to see the actual
Me too.
After.
Really?
Yeah. Rather than have it blurred.
I've seen books on the reassignment. I would rather see stills from Holocaust camps.
That would be sexier.
It doesn't effectively resemble the real deal.
It's probably better to be a man going to a woman than it is being a woman going to a man.
Oh, I would think they would just take an actual phallus, an existing phallus, and attach it.
No, Dr. Frankenstein. They don't just take a penis from the morgue and stick it on. But if you did have your choice, talk about shopping. You know what I mean? You'd really have to work it out. Yeah, maybe I could swap mine then for our cats. You said it's big, right?
It is large, yes.
All right. Low mileage, I'm guessing. With the gals, but maybe not with the fellas.
She's a bisexual, transgendered female.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, like I said, here's what they do when you want to do the transgendered stuff is they watch you for a year, make sure you're perfectly sane, and then they lop your honker off. That's how it works. I would argue the very definition of insanity. You know what I mean? If you really think about it, like, well, you think you have, you know, if you think you have conversations with Jesus Christ, people call you nuts. If you think you're Napoleon, you're nuts. I would argue what trumps that is wanting to have your genitalia lopped off. I would say that makes you more nuts, maybe the most nuts.
Mm-hmm. Some people just feel that they were born the wrong gender and they're trying to correct it.
I like that it's turned into a medical thing. Oh, I understand. There's a woman trapped inside of you. Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Like, oh, there's a woman trapped inside a man's body, and we've all bought into this. Mm-hmm. This has become a medical, an affliction now medically. It's like having tuberculosis or something. Oh, I didn't realize there's a woman trapped inside your body, Dave. Let's free her, by all means. I apologize.
Now, Andrew, I want to know this about the Surreal Life.
Yeah.
Who tried to, because of course you're a fox, and so somebody tried to make time with you. Who was it? Was it Katane? High on blow, by the way. She tried to have her way with you.
He wants to know who was hitting on you.
Who wanted you between the sheets?
Everyone but Florence.
Really?
Everybody, everyone made a move.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Now, you're not opposed to that in general, right? You would have a woman if you found her appealing.
If I found her attractive, then yeah. But I would say I am heterosexual, but there's no reason not to enjoy a woman if the chemistry's there.
With enough peach yogurt, really? It's all the same.
Wow. It's true. You pile it high enough, you can almost make a penis. Interesting. And Tani, why Tani's a beautiful woman. You didn't get caught up in the moment?
You know, I think she is very beautiful, but
personality.
She's not my type. She's older.
Bitchy.
And
what's wrong with
her? Manic.
Bad personality?
No.
Say she's... what you want. She was going to come on this show, and I think she stood us up. So go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Bust her chops a little bit.
No, she's a good person, but she just sometimes says things that are inappropriate for a mother to be saying.
And Florence Henderson, not as sugary sweet as we all thought?
People need to realize Florence Henderson is not Carol Brady. Florence Henderson is very judgmental, and no matter how many times I tried to logically appeal to her that I'm a sane, normal person, she just wouldn't hear it.
Because you were stigmatized because you were in the pages of Playboy?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Really? So she was especially mean to you in particular?
Yeah, and I kind of wish they would show that on camera because...
They slice around it.
Right, and then as you'll see in one of the next episodes coming up, I go a little aggro on her. So.
Yeah, I could see the tension was building.
I'm going to go a little aggro on you.
Okay.
But I thought... I thought it was her and Tani that were going to get into it.
You know, I felt it was more me and her not getting along, but seeing as how they've edited the show, they're really pitting Tawny against her. So
you basically have the same complaint that everybody who does one of these shows has, which is whether it's Surreal Life or whatever, Survivor, they get a million miles of footage and then they just cut it up to make a story. Sometimes you look like an idiot. Sometimes you look like a genius. They'll just do it. They'll use cutaways that weren't even from that conversation or that scene.
I've experienced that already. Yeah, I've noticed. Yeah. I'm like, that was not even from that day.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's why, you know, when you do the confessional interviews, you're always in the same outfit.
So
they can use it. Right. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Andrea, can you hang out with us for one more?
I don't see why not.
All right. Andrea Lowell is here from The Surreal Life. We'll take a quick break. We'll do some news. We'll do some sports. We have some limericks cooked up by Mike's got his, the world's greatest within building booker, Mike August. Big Tad.
I got mine.
Got his ready. We'll do some limericks for the lovely Andrea after this. I've not actually had someone from outside of the building on this show yet.
Mike August can't book a guest. He must be lazy or have bad breath. How did he get a job on Adam's show? And which person did he have to blame?
Wow.
Mike August looks like Katie Lane.
True.
It's been a while.
Two and a half years.
Four years. When they lay him to rest, Mike August can't book a guest.
But the good news is, Mike, your streak remains intact. Andrea Lowell in The Surreal Life 6. During the break, we started looking on the computer about gender reassignment, and we're talking about Alexis Arquette and that kind of stuff. Dave Damaschek came across a picture of China, the wrestler, who suffers from clitoral maglia.
She has a wang in her vagina.
And, Andrea was the one that asked me to look it up because I hadn't seen it. It is scary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bust you.
Well,
I did not mean to bust you.
The thing about the roids, which is sad, is it gets the clitoral maglia to the ladies. You know, you take steroids as a lady, and that part of you grows. As a dude, it shrinks.
It makes you grow as a miniature wang. That's crazy. I've never seen that.
Well, you're feeding your body male hormones. You're trying to turn yourself into a dude.
Why doesn't that work out?
It would be nice as a guy if that, you know, well, here's what you get. You get huge biceps, and your wang grows as well.
Yeah.
I'd be standing in line at the at the pharmacy if that was true.
Or in but lieu of that, grow a couple extra wings. How about?
Oh, an extra one. Right. Nice. Yeah, and something for the weekend.
Can always use a spare.
All right. Now, Mike August, who's the aforementioned Mike August in studio, world's greatest poker. Big Tad also in studio. They've both fashioned and crafted limericks for the beautiful Andrea. Who'd like to go first? Now, by the way, Andrea, it has been a combined 6 years plus. I would say combined 7 years since these guys have had sex.
Are you celibate?
Yeah. No. Well, not by choice.
I think the answer would have to be, well, when is the last time you had sex, Mike? Has it been 4 years?
I haven't kept count. You and Kimmel seem to have a much better head on this than I do.
It's been, okay, let's put it this way.
No, pun intended.
Not put it that way.
Jimmy Kimmel Live has been on the air for what, 3 years and change?
Probably, yes.
Now?
Yes.
3 years and 2 months, three years and 3 months or something like that?
Second.
Did you have sex since he's been on the air?
No.
No. And had it been a year before he went on the air?
Quite possibly.
Quite possibly. So it could easily be 4 years plus.
Could be.
Why?
Big Tad.
Yes, sir.
The earth has been cool for how long?
For a very long time.
All right. And you've had sex. When is the last time you had sex?
Probably 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
2.5. Yeah. You see, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people do this stuff where they go, oh, it's been about a year since I paid my taxes, or a year or 2 years since I've... But you realize after talking to the person and knowing them for 3 years, you can't just keep saying it's been a year when you've known the person for 3 years. You have to update to 4 years every once in a while.
Right. Well,
Tad's been telling me 2 years since he was in the ninth grade.
How dare you?
Point is, Andrea's disgusted by it.
She's curious. Why is the drought?
Use those beautiful smoky gray eyes of yours to look at these two people. You can see why.
Yes.
I don't what? No. I
no,
mean,
not getting it?
Why the drought?
We don't have time for that.
Yeah. That would take a whole nother segment? Yeah. Okay.
It's really sad. Yeah. Also, Mike will start crying and Tad will do that shame eating thing he gets into. So, let's just hear the limericks that you've crafted for young Andrea. Tad, you're going first?
I'll go first this time.
Okay.
Okay. Playmate Andrea, you are surreal. I love watching you and Cece DeVille. You and I at Poison. Can't hardly wait. Wow, look. It's going to be our first date.
Wow, okay, ambitious.
Very touching, thank
ambitious.
You.
Ambitious, and if you want to break the streak... Yes. There's yogurt coming, 55-gallon drums. Head to Costco, Bruska, get some yogurt. All right, not bad, ambitious. Andrea put a puss on, by the way, when I suggested you two go out on a date.
It's
no,
cool.
No, not going to happen. What's
probably
wrong?
Probably not. No, I am in a relationship.
Oh, you are? Well, here's the thing about Big Tad.
With Dannons.
Not much of a looker, I'll give you that. But he lives at home and has no money. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. That's about to change here soon.
That's right. All right. Now, Mike,
yes.
How say you?
Okay. There once was a beautiful girl named Andrea Lowell with beautiful honey hair and wonderful eyes and huge sexy mouth.
What the hell is this?
What's wrong?
Wow.
What are you
this
just
I'm not
doing?
Okay.
You didn't write anything down.
You want to reboot?
It's all in there.
I'm not done yet. Beautiful flat stomach, long sexy legs. You can stop me anytime.
Jesus Christ, Mike. During the commercial, I was like, Mike, where's your limerick? He's like, it's all up here. It's all in the steel trap that resides in my skull.
But I liked it.
Exactly. Sex happens up there, too.
Yes.
There and other places on the internet.
What an embarrassment.
All right, Mike,
you
disgust me. Don't ever
Andrea.
Book yourself on the show again.
Andrea, you wouldn't go for either one of these. No woman would, and no woman has in many years. But who's this fella you're with now?
He's actually Korean.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I met him at UC Irvine.
Mm.
I studied biology there.
In the business?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, Koreans run Hollywood. I mean,
No, he's a waiter.
Waiter?
Yeah.
A civilian?
Yes.
Hmm.
No.
Now, do you have a thing for the Asians?
Yes, I have a major Asian fetish.
Yeah, because they don't have hair.
They have no hair. It's kind of like being with a woman that has a wang. Because they're so soft and
interesting
sensitive.
Interesting you picked an Asian name to describe the part. But yes, they're smooth, they're dark skin.
Yes, very supple and...
Right, so you don't want a guy with a bunch of hair on his back.
Well, you know, I've had it before, and I prefer the softer. But as long as a guy doesn't shave and it's not spiky, mm-hmm. if he just lets it be, it can be enjoyable. Mm. But it's when they start shaving and the spikes and the ingrown hairs.
Yeah.
Just
creepy.
Be natural is what I say.
All right.
I'm all natural.
Lathers up the soap. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Andrea, thank you
for coming in here. I had fun.
No, we had fun. Andrea, The Surreal Life 6 on Sunday nights, VH1, 9 o'clock, and they rerun it all the time. We taking a break here, Bruska? All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
This is C. Thomas Howell, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Wolverines!
Dave just got wood.
It's my main man.
Yeah.
C. Thomas Howell.
We got some news. We got some sports. Bruska, do you see the large grouper that is floating in the aquarium outside our window there? He's Billy.
Okay.
That's Billy. Billy, come in here. Billy is our guy who's working on our website. He's a huge fan, and I like to surround myself with huge fans. So,
hi, Billy.
Billy, you just hang back, chuckle, heap praise on me, whatever you like, all right?
You got it, sir.
Yeah. How old are you, Billy?
I'm 17.
17.
Oh.
Yes, so sir. Cute. And you're already working on the computer, huh?
Yes.
All right. And where did you discover me first? When did you realize you were in love with Adam Carolla?
Wow. I'd say 2000 when 2000. I started listening to Loveline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also watching The Man Show.
Oh, he's nervous.
Wow.
I met him in the bathroom. He was really nervous.
Yeah, so...
He helped me jiggle. So big, it's a big thrill for you to meet me.
Definitely.
I like that. Yeah.
It's funny because Billy's voice betrays who he looks like. He looks exactly like the main biker, the lead biker of the Black Widows in the Any Which Way You Can and Every Which Way But Loose series. Fights Philo Beto.
He's a sweet talker, but he looks like a sack filled with horseshoes. It's basically what he looks like. Sweet kid, though. 17.
Yes, sir.
A lot of man at 17. What are you coming in at? You 200 pounds yet?
About 200.
No, you got to watch those calories.
Yeah. Do you play football or anything?
No, I do karate, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What belt are you?
I'm a junior black belt.
Maybe we could do a little Ass Kiss Rodeo with Billy at some point. I like the idea that he's flustered to meet me. Nice. All right, well, hey.
So you're high school age. So are you in the All-Valley?
No. It's not
all Karate Kid, Dave. All right, well, hang with us, Billy.
Sweep definitely.
The Cobra Kai.
Now, it is time for Teresa Strasser with the news.
Okay, Eva Longoria, Adam, you've already mentioned you're not a huge fan.
You know, it's just, I don't need to close my eyes and see her. I don't need to fall asleep to the sound of Pat O'Brien talking about Eva Longoria. I'm just Eva Longoria'd out. I've had an ass full of Eva Longoria.
And for my money, Andrea Lowell, who was just in here, far more beautiful. But here is Eva talking to Ryan Seacrest last night on E! And complaining about her bonus from Desperate Housewives.
So Felicity called me and she goes, you know, I think we're getting cars tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down and they go, we appreciate your success, da-da-da-da-da, and this is from us. And it was an envelope. And I was like, what is this, a spa gift certificate? Like, what is this? And I open it and it's, you know, a check for $250,000. And I said, so we didn't get the car?
I like when people crack themselves up.
She did.
Yeah. I only do that when I break wind. When I beef, I laugh like a retarded hyena. Other than that, you know, people accuse me all the time. Who farted? Carolla, did you fart? I always go, you know, if I fart, I laugh like a maniac when I fart.
Good to know.
Yes.
All right. At a mall in Florida, someone got all up in the Easter Bunny's face. A mom got angry that the Easter Bunny's shift was over and he would no longer pose for photos.
Mm.
The mom started a brawl with the Easter Bunny's wife.
Hold on. Definitely not a Jew candidate. Write that down. Mall, brawl, Florida,
Easter Bunny.
Easter, it's all there.
Now there's a brawl between the disgruntled mom and the Easter Bunny's wife. So the bunny came to his wife's defense and punched the mom in the head. Now the bunny and Mrs. Bunny are in jail for battery and disturbing the peace.
Wow.
Not Jews.
Tough. Yeah. And do they really need a human in that outfit anymore? Just put it on a broom handle and just set it there and your kid could just plop down next to it? What is that?
But
haven't we learned our lesson?
But I don't. I'm of the Jewish faith, but so I don't know how the Gentile. But aren't you supposed to think the Easter Bunny is real, so it doesn't have to move and talk and be animated?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You know, to me, it's Santa's number one. Easter Bunny, you can get over.
Okay.
I'm still not over Santa, but the Easter Bunny.
Another
hiding
important.
Eggs. There's a holiday for the goyim right there. We're gonna take hard boiled eggs. We'll get drunk and put them all over the house. Smart. We'll find half of them. Don't worry. Somewhere around July, we'll find the rest.
To celebrate Jesus.
Resurrection.
Yeah, smart.
This is an interesting study, and I know you care a lot about scientific research.
Mm-hmm.
What causes women to flash their boobs on shows like Girls Gone Wild?
Tom Likas. Oh.
On shows like Girls Gone Wild and at sporting events, well, a professor in Canada quantified boob flash risk factors, and they are as follows. A desire to celebrate, a desire to break the rules, feelings of stardom for doing it, wanting to be part of history, and wanting to make a statement. Alcohol, not on the list.
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
Number one. Number one on the winger list with a bullet is booze.
It's not. Apparently, women that want to flash their boobs have an entirely other set of causes.
Hormones.
Like to hang around. Yes, Billy. Hormones?
Billy. Hormones. Do you watch the Girls Gone Wild?
No, I don't.
How about the Fellas Gone Wild?
No.
Really?
I am a gay American.
Like All right.
All right. Well, on American Idol tonight, Rod Stewart will be the celebrity coach. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
Embarrassing night last night in Chavez Ravine for the Dodgers. The 40-year-old nerd Greg Maddux came in and completely shut down the bats of the bums. Cubs win it 4-1.
It's all over now.
Oh, no.
It's all over.
Plenty of time. Keep your chin up. 150 games
How
left.
How many?
No. Just 150 to settle it.
They
maybe
can
we
back.
Can. Maybe if we win it's, tonight, but if not tonight, it's all over.
It's do or die.
It's do or die tonight, no. Yeah, because then it's only 149 to get right. back into it.
What kind of American? Oh, you hate our pastime.
Because there's 180 games. That's why I hate it. I'd like it if it was, you know, kept into double digits.
Well, sir, maybe if you tried a little something called fantasy baseball, you would turn your opinion around. Find it engaging.
Baseball.
Padres dumped the Rockies.
Hold on. Here's my policy as a male and an adult. Anything with the word fantasy of it in front of it that involves eight dudes and a computer, not into it. You understand? If it involves pasties and mini bottles of champagne that cost $22, then I'm into it.
Little peach yogurt?
That's right. That's where I want my fantasy, not with eight dudes arguing.
All right, Johnny Cool. You're cutting
you.
Your nose to spite your face. That's
Thank
what
you.
I say. It's a delightful time.
All right.
Now, crazy game in Arizona. Giants went up 7 on the Snakes, blew it, but then came back to win 10-9. More importantly, though, Barry the Creep Bonds didn't hit a home run, which always makes me happy and the rest of America, too. Seattle Mariners lost in Boston. The Halos got dumped by the O's. And now, as I did earlier, I'm going to unveil the new segment called Coach's Corner, where I focus on coaches and sports.
But how do you spell that?
That's right. The Coach's Corner, I spell it with K's. Coach's Corner.
Uh-huh.
So, you know,
for the radio.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly, yes. Now, the first coach I wish to discuss, New York Knicks head coach Larry Brown, legendary coach, has won national championships, NBA crowns, so on and so forth. Successful everywhere he's gone until this stop this season with the Knicks. They're the worst team in the conference. Now he's skipping the last couple of games for the team because he says he has acid reflux. Is that cause to miss games?
Well, by the way, to
got
coach,
an upset tummy.
Look, you get in a three-piece suit and you plant your ass on a folding chair for 2 hours. It's
exactly.
not like you're down at the docks.
This is shameful. What kind of woman?
Yeah, I agree.
Just like Phil Leotardo said about Johnny Sack on Sunday night. You know, my estimation of Larry Brown has gone down. He cries like a woman about his acid reflux. Now, on the other hand, you've got Jim Leland, the great Jimmy Leland.
Yeah, because he coached, because he was a skipper for the Pirates.
No,
that's why.
Because he's a man's man. That's why. Smoking his nails in the dugout like a man does it. That's awesome. He took the Pittsburgh Pirates to those great division crowns. They never won because of Barry Bonds, of course. But
I do like the fact that he's wearing a Pirates outfit and blowing a butt and wearing tennis shoes at the same time.
Listen, tip
it's
your
a great
hat
look.
To him.
Okay.
That's an old school man.
I like
then,
that.
Then he won the World Series with the Marlins. Now he's taking over the Tigers. Turned them around at least early on. They're always a crummy team, but they stunk yesterday, and he said so to the media. Listen to how he talks about his multi-million dollar prima donnas.
This seems like the most disappointing loss that you
Pardon me?
This seems like
Yeah, we stunk, period. Stunk, and it's not good enough. It's been going on here before, and it's not going to happen here. It's not going to go on.
What bothers you the most?
It was just a lackluster. The whole ball of wax was lackluster. It's just not good enough. We had a chance to take the series, 3 out of 4, and we come out here like, we just brought our luggage to the park. Well, we got a game to play, and then we go on the road. That's not good enough.
No. No.
Acid reflux, nothing. This is the way a man does
business.
No,
and I would say, I'm going out on a limb, but this team can only afford to lose another 65 or 75 games. Otherwise, the season will be over. Yeah, that's what I would say to the team. Fellas, listen, gather around, grab a knee, let's go, let's focus now. Listen, people, what you did out there in that field today, that's not going to cut it. 75, maybe 80 more of those kinds of losses, we may not make the wild card. Do you understand?
Oh, my acid reflux.
A short 80 losses from now, our season is over. So remember, so we get around the 49-50 loss mark, we got to really start focusing.
All right. I'm through. The
yes.
show's through.
Thank you.
I'm done.
It's enough.
Acid reflux.
All right. Mike, you got nothing?
There you go. Dave Tomaszek's number one sports.
Well, that's the show. I want to thank Cliff Young for coming in here. IECoffee.com. His old lady's sick. She's got some tumors. He makes some great product. Go on the internet and support this man. He supports our show, iecoffee.com. Bucky Covington, American Idol. Phil Hendry, philhendryshow.com. He's also on Teachers, 9:30 tonight, NBC. Andrea Lowell, The Fetching Andrea Lowell. Surreal Life, Sunday, 9 o'clock, VH1. Teresa Strasser. Nice job, baby.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.